want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Paul is from New York City. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Speaking of the best of America as a lifelong Democrat, I have to say that the best of the best comes from the Don and Mike Show.
Philadelphia, Democrat. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Don and Mike.
All right. Thanks. And our next call comes from Greenwich, Connecticut, Republican.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say that the worst thing in America today are special interest groups that are outrageous and have time to protest. How do these people have time to protest, first of all, if they hold jobs? And second of all, why are they not listening to the Don and Mike Show?
Oh, dude, I thought you were sincere there for a minute.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most copies in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Did you wash your ass today?
People do judge you by the words you use. When you speak well, you command respect.
Did you wash your ass today?
How charmingly ghetto.
Oh, is this a star-studded event or what?
What was it like when you, the night of the election, and you have to talk to President Clinton? And, had you talked to him much during the campaign directly?
Probably not. I wouldn't talk to him.
Not a lot. We sort of talked past each other. We had two debates, but nobody showed up. But I called him, collect, and...
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. Well, you know, our campaign's been broke for months.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
Now, you two are taking a time out.
Oh, and listen, one last thing. For my friend Mike O'Mara, how do you pronounce the name of number 20 for the Jaguars?
Natron Mean.
So that wouldn't be... If a guy said Natroni, you might think he was a fag, right?
I would probably agree with you. Yeah, I think he's probably pretty screwed up.
Would you say he's a fag?
Yeah.
Would you say Mike O'Mara's a fag?
Well, I'd hate to say that. I'm a big fan of him.
Well, would you say it anyway?
Yeah, what the heck? Mike, you're a fag.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building.
Great. Just so happens I have a chair at Springfield University.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns, but I must object. This Simpson is not qualified.
I see. Well, you know, fellas, I look at the admissions board a lot like a baseball team. You all like baseball, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, well, to have a successful baseball club, you need teamwork. Not some butthole admissions officer playing by his own rules.
Excuse me, please do it.
Giving you the feeding of your life.
Look, if stop that. If you wanted him that badly, why didn't you just say so?
Yeah. Maybe dismember the corpse and send his widow a corsage.
I think that is very, very bad for that man to make an accusation like that. That is terrible. I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly... that you got some team that had guys on it like Babacqua. I sent a limousine to get the sucker to make sure he was in the mother lineup because I kicked that sucker's ass any day in a week. He's a fucking motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that.
That both the Joker and the Penguin were after Batman, and Robin almost got eaten alive by a joyous clam.
Dr. Eisman, no one has a deeper respect for psychiatry than I do. And I know that when we get to Larry, we're both on the same side, but I think there's certain guidelines we should observe.
Oh, before you go any further, let me tell you that I can't discuss matters of this.
Oh, what horse. The doctors are all the same. Soon you'll have Larry recovering a false memory of an uncle who tried to touch his pet. Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Well, you don't know to fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
No! Don't complain, these are the guys that are catering our ratings party tonight.
I still hate them.
It's a wonderful strudel, finger food, German chocolate cake.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
I saw the menu.
Yeah?
Hope you like white bread. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hope and all the ships at sea. They're even more refreshing than a one-hole golf course while wearing super loud headphones.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I want to tell you, Rob.
I want to tell you
hello
right here.
Everybody, thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday right here.
July 29ers.
Right.
Here's the phone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Canada. Make Rob yell. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., as always. Your special hotline, 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Good to see you. And, day number two, the bracelet saga continues.
How's that bracelet doing today, Buzz?
Rhea says it's awesome.
Hey, there you go.
Well.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up! Did you wash your ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
And that's it. We are on the air.
On the air.
Hallelujah, glory be. Yeah, wow.
It's your call. It's your call.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe later.
What was that, Buzz?
I said maybe later.
See? Wildfire, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, I knew.
Wildfire.
Yeah.
A lot of you thought he was a pony.
Right.
Who was ridden by Michael Murphy in the 70s.
They'll be calling Wildfire.
No, it's the way that people talk in a radio station.
Yes.
Look at Buzz. Look at the way he's looking at you.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, where you least expect it, you know?
Oh, no, he's plugged in.
Yeah.
He's got his sources.
He is plugged in.
No pun intended. Yeah.
He's like a stealth bomber, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, and he loves
it. You never know when he's going to fire off around.
He loves it when he's got a little something. Well, good for you, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Way to go, Buzz.
I think, let's just get a timeline on this, and
okay.
Then we can drop this.
All right.
I found out when Mike told me when Mike arrived today about 2:20.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When did you find out?
Actually, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're bluffing.
I don't know what you think I know.
Now, Buzz, if you could use these skills when we play poker...
Well, I can use these skills.
Your
just
hands,
shuffle.
Your hands would stop shaking, and you would actually win some of the money.
Yeah, you'd be like Amarillo Slim.
Right.
An outstanding bluff by Buzz.
Thank you. Very nice.
You know, that would be... like if you're playing Hollywood Squares, they say, I pick Buzz to block.
I'm staring at him right now. I'm looking through him right now.
I wish I knew.
Right
will,
now.
You tell, will you tell me later?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will tell you in the commercial break.
You don't have to wait for... Well, I guess you, if you...
Or now, if you like.
Just wait till the ratings party tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want, or he doesn't have to. You know.
No. I mean, if you want... some excitement, something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until the ratings party tonight when everyone's talking about Mike.
Oh, now he spit out his water.
I just had to make Mike do a spit take. That's all.
You got me. You got me. You got me.
So, of course, tonight we're having the cut rate, low budget.
Trade it out. Get it for free. Ratings. Cheap hors d'oeuvres.
Ratings party. But still, it's the first ratings party that we've had around here in a long time, so we're looking forward to that. And then tomorrow, Mike and I have been summoned to the great mountaintop of Lanham, Maryland.
What a pain in the ass.
Where the corporate offices for Infinity Broadcasting are, where we are going to meet yet another one of the executive presidents of Infinity Broadcasting.
Now, this is not the guy who stiffed you before, right?
No, that guy...
Is he gone?
The guy that stiffed us before, yeah, he got fired.
Oh, really?
He
got quickly.
He got fired.
Well, how long did he have the job?
That'll teach him.
Well, now, are we talking about...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The recent guy.
No, that guy, I thought you were talking about the guy who took his place.
No. Okay,
No, Joel, the other guy that was going to meet us, right. He stuffed us because he took the job of the guy above him who they fired.
Constantly shuffling.
So now the guy who had the job...
It's insane, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, for a giant company like Infinity Broadcasting, I understand the way that this is, but they give out vice president stripes in this company the way that most people give out post-it notes. Right. I mean, it's like
you can be working in the mailroom at about 9 a.m. and be a vice president by the end of the day.
That is so cool.
There are so many goddamn vice presidents here. Oh, Rob, incidentally, now is the vice president of hate.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. For Infinity Broadcast.
We earned that.
Congratulations.
Just the title.
Yeah, just the title.
And the press release said, we are confident Rob will do an excellent job heading up the hate division.
And I'm vice president of jewelry.
But they have told us that whenever...
Can I see it again, please?
Yeah. This is about tomorrow.
There you go.
Awesome. They said that, you know, this is going to be it. This is going to be finally
really gonna happen.
The time we're going to sit down with this guy. We're going to hammer out our differences of opinion about the syndication deal. And
well, haven't we been warned to be nice also? Haven't we been warned to be social?
Time and again. Sorry. It's not queued up. Oh, you see, that's another
somebody
one of our...
Somebody used
today.
It.
And why would anyone want to use our hammer today?
Probably just to run it through the speakers during commercial break.
Anyway, let me turn this thing off as soon as I find it. There you go. Huh?
Click, click, click.
There you go. Turn it off. Accidentally said the word. So, yeah, we got a lot of inside stuff happening. We've got the ratings party tonight. We've got all the gossip about Mike.
Wow.
We've got tomorrow the meeting with the guy about the thing, which is not, incidentally...
What do we have to wear for that? I mean, just how to... I mean, I think we need to coordinate.
I'm wearing a suit, but no tie.
What's wrong with that? Man, why don't you wear a tie?
Because I always wear a tie when we go to those things.
All right, should I wear a tie then?
You know, it'd be casual. I'm thinking...
You know, I got a nice pair of champion shorts.
I dare you.
I'm not even wearing socks, much less a tie.
Well, you're not coming to the meeting, Buzz.
Oh, to the party, I thought.
Oh, to the party.
You're wearing a tie to the party.
No, we're talking about the party.
Meeting tomorrow.
For the party tonight, I'm wearing exactly what I have on.
You know, they really do rent those Dumb and Dumber tuxedos now.
I don't think with this guy we want to do that.
I always like to do something special.
Well, I dare you. I double dare you. It would make me laugh.
I might wear a suit.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Suit and tie.
Clown suit.
No, I'm not going to wear a tie. I feel like an idiot when I wear a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so totally... It's years of not wearing a tie that just... You know, and I used to love to get dressed up. You still like getting dressed up in your school clothes.
Yeah, but tomorrow I want to show this guy. I mean, we have to show this latest Infinity Nimrod a bit of respect. So, you know, I don't want to be like a disc jockey and go in there wearing, a football jersey and shorts, which I wear most days. But on the other
hand, I'll try to find a satin jacket.
What you want to do is you want to go in and say to the guy, we're buffoons on the air, but look at us off the air. We are buffoon businessmen off the air. That's the message that you want to relay to this guy.
Then it's settled. I will wear a wonderful pair of dress pants. Some very nice expensive shoes and a tank top.
And I believe I'm going to go and drag. The more I think about it, the more I just think.
Again?
I'm going to just go totally and drag.
I hate these meetings.
So do I.
I mean, they're usually worthless.
Yeah, but, you know, they've stiffed us so often. This is one that they're not stiffing us on.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Like, this guy, his name is Scott. Like, he is so, Scott, he's so scary important. They announced that he would be meeting with...
Hello, Scott.
He'll be meeting with some... He's here just to yell at everybody.
Bring him in the room to me.
He's here to yell at everybody, I guess, except us. That's cool. He's the Pope. And, you
show
know,
them into the bridge.
And we're Bono and the Edge. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go in and kiss his ring. Your Excellency.
Number two, seat Don and Mike in the lobby.
So,
lobby.
So here's the way that it was laid out to me, is that he has a very, very tight schedule.
Well, yes.
And that he's an hour away from us, and there's no way that he could possibly come to our radio station.
No way.
So we've got to go meet him, and I guess some of the other executives from the other radio stations are upset now that in the middle of all of this, because apparently he's so busy, he is such a gigantic. I can't wait to see his head. Ask him what size.
He's like
head
Oz. He's like Oz when you see his head. He's got light bulb head.
Big gigantic head. Say, where do you get your hat? Yeah.
He's like that guy on the Weather Channel that talks about the hurricane.
Because the guy,
look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, would you?
So the guy, here's the guy's schedule. He flies into D.C.
Right.
He says, okay, this one station, I'll meet with you from 9:15 to 9:45.
You skipped the motorcade.
The other station, I meet with you from 9:45 to 10:15. Third station, 10:15 to 10:45.
Wow.
Next station, 10:45 to 11:45, because that's the station that's in trouble, so they get an hour.
You know what would be fun? I'm just thinking of this now. If at the end of the meeting, when it was made very obvious that it was time to leave, we just kept talking, you know, stringing it along. Mm-hmm. So how do you find the city? That's terrific. Have you been to... there's one other thing I wanted to say.
Yeah?
And just keep it going until everybody gets so uncomfortable that they're forced to be rude.
I don't think that we're going to have to work on the uncomfortable part. I really don't think. Once we...
What time are the royal fireworks?
What? Once we outline to this guy how many times... Well, first off, I think my opening will be, congratulations, you are the fifth guy to have this job in the last 18 months.
Yeah. I know.
Say congratulations. How long is your contract?
Yeah.
And then say it's very nice to meet you.
I always feel a little intimidated because you usually give your resume to the guy, you know, the new guy. And when you go through the number of radio stations that you've worked at, like Kiss FM in Los Angeles, WLS in Chicago, and then I tell him my work history. I was a camp counselor.
Well, Mike, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm just going to meet him, be polite with him,
uh-huh.
and then just hit him right over the head with our list of demands. And say, hi, listen, there's been about seven tools in this job before you.
Would you like to be the one that's different? Would you like to be the one that's special? Would you like to be the one that's going to show us the way? Huh? Huh, Mr. Big-Headed Vice President?
Huh? Dummy? Wouldn't that be great to call him a dummy? We've never even met this guy before, but wouldn't it just be great to walk in and go, hey, hi, dummy, how you doing?
You know, another Austin Powers reference. Maybe we could just come walking in with like a tether ball or a basketball and just bounce it off him. Huh? You going to cry? You going to cry? You want to cry? You want to be crying?
No, or just dip bring a bucket of water in with us. Mm-hmm. Dip our hands in. Just, you know, do that little kid thing where you just flick him with water
right.
mm-hmm. the whole time. Hi, you heard a lot about us, haven't you? I heard you bet. I bet you heard that we're hard to work with. What do you think? We're easy to work with.
Maybe we get the spray bottle of water and walk in back of him when he's not looking and do the fake sneeze and go,
and
spray it all over his neck.
No, anyway,
it's one of my favorites.
We'll give you the results of that on tomorrow's episode.
There you go.
That's a stupid meeting we have to go to. And we have the ratings party tonight.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Which is going to be fueled by rumors of Mike. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The tongues wagging.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Mike.
Nothing, you know, nothing should come of that, of course.
The bright spotlight
right.
shines on you. No matter. You think that guy will
No, I don't think he knows. I think he's just, he's one of my new favorite guys, even though I don't know what his name is. What's his name? He's a good guy.
We have so many
and
guys.
And really, really about once every 16 years, there's a sales guy that I think is actually a pleasant guy.
He is a nice guy. I don't know his name. He's got a cool mustache. And,
yeah.
Well, funny. But I don't know his name.
If you were casting a Western, wouldn't you choose him first?
Yeah, he kind of looks like the Marlboro man.
Yeah, he does. I'll have to get his name. I mean, I've been introduced to him. I just forget. You know, it takes me 7-8 months to learn a salesperson's name.
Here we have absolutely. That's why my rule is, and a lot of the salespeople think I'm aloof, and I try to explain to them, your life expectancy at this radio station is very short.
Right.
I don't want to waste my time and your time
right.
forging a relationship when, frankly, in any case, most likely within 4 to 6 weeks you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage to make it through 6 months,
yeah.
Well, then we can start speaking.
Right.
then, that's because fair. Really, why waste our collective time?
Well, you know, what's nice about this guy is that I really do, like so many guys when they come in and they start here, he's really, he actually enjoys the show. It's obvious that when somebody's not picking it.
That'll change.
Well, it'll change, of course. You know, so we'll do something to him, or some client will have a problem with us, or he'll simply talk to some of the others, you know, who hate us.
They'll just go back and say, yeah. Well, Don and Mike's show is great. And they'll say, yeah, it is, but good luck getting them to do a live commercial for you.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and then
the well is poison.
Then it will be. Yeah. Then it will begin.
Whoa.
So anyway, you know, we got a lot of friends around here. We really do. We're so lucky.
We do.
We're so lucky. We have so many friends here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing all of those friends at the ratings party tonight. Mike,
me too.
You are really going to get your balls busted.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Someday, you know, maybe. Maybe someday...
It's all about planning is what it's all about.
Maybe someday we'll put out a special version of this show. Like, you know, when we're finally done, we'll put some stuff on CD.
Oh,
The box set, Robert,
right.
Our final thoughts. And this was not available on radio.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to pay for our retirement fund. But you might actually be able to hear the story.
Yeah.
Because I know... I'm trying to goad you into it now, but you wouldn't feel comfortable, would you?
No, probably not. I mean, I don't know. You know, when there's another person involved,
you could do it without
something
using
that's completely
innocent, though.
Innocent.
See, that's the thing, though. It's innocent.
It is totally innocent.
You could do it using that without using the person's name.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Here's the deal. I went to lunch with an employee here today, and this is an employee who I've chatted with in the past. And when I chat with this person, there's usually all this ball busting that goes on, and so I said, you know, let's be nice, you know, we'd like to chat, let's go out and have lunch. And
listen, I'm the first that joins in on that when I see,
yeah,
you know, and I say, hey, Tiger.
But you know, it's totally different, as you know, when it comes from you. It's a much, you know, really, it's quite honestly, it's a friendly thing that you do, and it doesn't. But when it comes from other directions, it's kind of it's uncomfortable for me. So I said, we'll just go out, and then. We went out, and
here's
half the goddamn station was at the restaurant.
Here's the rub,
wow.
Buzz.
Yeah.
You know where he picked to go on this dream date, and I'm using that.
If you were going to pick a place where you would bump into people, because I did
the nice restaurant here in Fairfax.
Yeah,
on the street. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Robbie, do you know the name of the restaurant we're speaking of?
I'm sure I do.
Say it.
Is it Artie's?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course. So Mike and this other person go to have their let's get acquainted lunch.
Very nice.
Away from everybody at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike gets there, and
the first person I see is Cameron.
Who's the operations
manager
from the station?
And I see Julie, and I'm starting to laugh at this point because it's silly. And then I walk around the corner and I see Donna, who I thought left, and then I see Colette, and I'm just like, you know,
wow.
What is the ratings party today?
And I love Colette. I was going to say, if you saw Colette, you might as well have just bought a billboard.
Yeah. I understand.
Out on the beltway.
But I mean, you know, as I said, being that it's completely innocent, it was at a certain point, it was comical. And Colette, you know, and did you see the way she greeted me when I came in, where she was like trying to keep a straight face?
I know, like,
you know, and then in the restaurant, she walked by and she got this big grin on her face.
Like,
you know?
Oh, look at Mike. Look at Mike getting it done.
No. I mean, that's what she did. That's
I know, that's what I'm
right.
saying. Look, oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Thumbs up to Mike. You the man. Getting it done.
It was silly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is silly. It's silly.
But don't go there because that's where the station hangs
out. But you know what? That's what I told him, too. I said, it's partly his fault. You got to know that there's only one.
You know what? I really wasn't thinking about that until it happened. And then I'm like, wow. I mean, I didn't realize. But, that, you know, the problem is there's only one decent restaurant right around here.
True.
You know, well, then that's not true. I mean, there's some good ones. But, you know, in any event, it was strangely comical and a bit uncomfortable, I must say.
I'm sorry about that.
So you had secretly plotted with this person to
no.
to get it now. Well, you know, in some regard, I mean, we
now
didn't,
see
you didn't put out a memo.
Fueling the fire.
No, you didn't put
with
out
the words secretly plotted.
Okay, well, you kept it between the two of you.
Yes,
that you were going to meet for lunch.
Yes,
and imagine the surprise when you get there and half the staff.
Yeah.
Is at this restaurant.
Absolutely.
And God knows
right.
what they're saying right now.
You know, and I agree. I think that it's, There's nothing one can do. When you're in a certain situation, there's literally nothing you can do about it.
Let the tongues wag, yeah. Mike.
Right.
And let the tongues wag.
And, yeah, sure. Will the ratings party maybe be a slightly uncomfortable experience for me tonight? I don't doubt that, but I have a method of coping with that.
And listen, I know you're
going to comes in a bottle.
Plenty of medication. But tonight, why not just be...
I think I'll need a cab home this evening.
Why hide the fact that you're...
Now, see? You're going to get me in trouble.
I know nothing's happened. Friends with this woman.
Absolutely.
With this extremely attractive woman. I mean, most of them that work here, my God, could be in the stray animal center. One here who's just over the top.
See that plank I'm walking right now? There we go.
She's like the beauty pageant winner here. Not that the competition is that great. But she is...
She is. She's lovely. Absolutely.
She doesn't have the new and improved Joker smile.
Very nice person.
You know what I mean? She's very attractive.
Yes, and it was pleasant.
Very attractive.
Good. Pleasant, albeit slightly uncomfortable with the others there. If I went to lunch with anybody at this place, I'd be, and there were people all over, I wouldn't, from the station. I wouldn't if I went up with a friend from outside of the radio station.
Nah, but it would be different if you went out with your buddy John, or if you went with me or anybody else, just because, she's a girl.
Yeah.
She's a girl.
Yeah.
You're a man.
Yeah, I am.
You're a man. With needs.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
And wants.
Yeah.
Tonight.
You know, there's a part of me that actually is glad that I can kind of make your day today and allow you to have the fun that you're having as
I'm trying to find.
I know you are. You're doing everything in your power to low key it. And I'm trying to find the proper analogy for what you're doing. As you keep, getting closer, and then you keep getting closer, and...
Well, I know that there's a certain line that you would never want me to go over, and I would never go over, but I
understand. You're having fun, and you know what? If I'd had more foresight, perhaps this would have been avoidable, but, it was not. And let tongues wag.
Exactly.
It doesn't bother me in the least.
It's
completely innocent.
As a matter of fact, tonight, I think, at the party, at some point, you just say, everybody, listen, I know you've all heard... Hey, Robbie, give me some reverb here for a second. There you go. Attention's on. One, two. Hi, everybody. It's me, Mike. I know you've been talking about me today in my lunch, and I just want to say that I have nothing to hide from you. Come here, mystery woman. You bring her up, and then it's just like, tongues intertwined.
Yeah.
Hot sparks, tongues like doing like crystal, pretzel rod things.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yeah, would that reality could happen? But I just don't think that would ever happen.
No. Will you talk to her tonight, though?
I suppose yes.
Yeah, I think now you have to.
Well, of course I will. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing.
You have nothing to hide.
I have nothing to hide, and there's absolutely. I mean, it would be. That would be the first person I'd probably want to talk to at a gathering of station employees anyway.
Now, I see a bunch of calls, and there's going to be only one call that I allow to get on the air about this. Mm. I'm not going to put the guy on the air who wants to smell your fingers.
Right.
But
let them attack.
I do have a call.
Somebody's knocked down the nest of killer bees.
Jason?
Yes, sir?
You're on the air, Jason.
I do have one question, Mike. What did Miss Bobby have for lunch?
she had steak.
That's too grand.
Good.
That's too grand. Anyway, hey, good for you. I mean, good for you for sharing that.
Well, no, I mean, really, there's very little point in... I think in certain situations, you just have to deal with it head on.
Yep. And I'm glad. Good first step.
Don't you agree? I mean, would you not offer me that advice?
Yes, if I didn't have the balls...
And I'd be a lot more... You know what? If it wasn't innocent, I'd be a lot more uptight.
If I had more balls, I would have said to you upstairs,
mm-hmm.
Hey, this should be our opening today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame it wasn't.
Well, no, it wasn't. We talked about the other guy
first. Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Yes, my darling.
Guess what Mike did?
Oh, no.
Who'd he do?
No, he didn't do anybody. No, he went to... Hold on. I'm going to tell you off the air. Just a second.
I'm not... I'm not nearly as uncomfortable as I should.
Good, you shouldn't be, really.
I mean, it's just, it's strange when these things happen.
Yeah, I know. People talk. I mean, but
people do talk. Yeah. And, you know, if I was worried about people talking,
live for you,
you know. That's what you
all
have
right,
to
so
do.
So now that Frida knows the identity, now listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, baby.
Yeah?
They're at Artie's, you know, the only restaurant in town.
Oh, he's quite the suave man. Go ahead.
And when they... Well, no, Artie's is a nice place. Come on.
Oh,
don't...
I thought you said Arby's.
No, Frida. You know, Artie's, that place that they get when they take me down to when they want to yell at me.
Oh, okay. It's better than Arby's. Go ahead.
So
it's really the only... It's like a business place.
Because it's the only nice restaurant in
Isn't
town.
Isn't it really like a business place, Don?
Not
yes, it is, Mike.
Business.
Yes, it is. Except for the cots in the back.
Stop it.
No, I'm kidding, of course. So
of course.
Mike goes in with this woman, this girl, and he runs into, in chronological order, Cameron Gray, the operations manager. Then he sees Donna. You know,
I saw Julie after that.
Julie Fullman. Then he sees a British Donna. And British Donna's husband, the pool guy, and then
I think I very clearly saw Donna and Colette.
And Colette.
The receptionist.
And, you know...
I was just wondering what table Alan Linewan was at and where the McWilliams party was.
Tongues were wagging.
So why did you have to tell me off the air? Because we'll be all over Washington and like...
Well, no, because her name has not been revealed.
Well...
To protect her.
Yeah, so far.
You know, unlike Tom Likas... I'm protecting the name of the victim.
Good for you, Don.
The alleged victim.
Oh, no.
No, the victim's not the right
one. I'm just he has a victim.
Mike's accuser. As they say in the press. Kidding.
Uh-oh.
Kidding. I'm proud of you.
No, I'm just proud of me. I'm not saying her name.
Proud of me.
I'm not saying her name out of deference to Mike.
Way to go, Mike. I'm very happy for you.
Oh, whatever.
You know, frankly, in my opinion, it's been a long time coming. It's about time. You know, I've seen the sparks.
No. That's ridiculous. Now you're creating fiction.
I can't tell you how many times I've had to put on
fiction.
Sunglasses. Right. When I'm around you.
Right. You're creating complete fiction.
You just say hello to her.
You're just creating
fiction. I go, I'm blind.
You're making stuff up now. You're pulling stuff out of your hat.
I am. Baby?
Yeah?
Now, listen to this. My wife is in New York right now, in New York City.
Right now.
City we used to broadcast in. And she's closing up the apartment.
Mm.
Those dreams are over.
One final giant shopping spree.
That is sad. That was a nice place.
We were.
That was a nice place that we lived in.
That's right. When you and I lived in the same apartment building, two floors above each other.
I had to change the move estimate. I've had to like double it as I'm crying, walk through the store, saying goodbye with my credit card.
Yeah. Well, that's one good thing about not having a New York residence anymore. Because for a while we thought we were going to be back up there, and then they did offer us a position, but as it turns out. The position was like on the Titanic of radio, so
yeah.
Hey, what the hell? The lease ran out, and
it was. You know, it was fun. I am so happy with the way everything has turned out. But I mean, it was a real fun experiment.
So, yesterday, during the show, I didn't want to break in with this bulletin during a commercial set. I'm on the phone with my wife, saying, "How's it going?" And she says, "I met a celebrity today."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the type of thing that can only happen in New York City.
Right.
And I don't know if I would classify this person as a celebrity anymore.
I think he's big time.
Well, again, you know, it's very subjective. The celebrity that my wife met and who she chatted with, and I'm assuming if he's like all other men, he hit on you.
Wouldn't you agree that he's probably in his 13th minute?
No, he didn't hit on me because he had like a 19-year-old girlfriend. I don't think he needs the 48-year-old, you know, out-of-towner sitting there at his restaurant.
Anyway, it was Mr. Dick. Moby.
Oh.
Moby Dick.
Wow.
He normally doesn't use his last name.
Bald-headed Moby.
But it was Moby.
He was very nice and very charming, and we chatted about tea and what kind of tea I should be drinking.
I couldn't pick him out of a freaking lineup. I mean, I like
I
it.
Couldn't
well, he's
either.
Very recognizable.
But he's one of those 5 minutes ago guys, you know, like that 5 years ago.
But he's I think he's still plugged in. I think he's still tabloidable. I think he's still...
I would say, oh, hey, that's the gay guy from R.E.M. That's what I'd say.
See, what happened is the guy in back of me, I don't know who this guy sitting in back of me was, but he was like any celebrity's nightmare because he was giving him the third degree. So, how'd you get your name? So, I thought you were from Britain. No. And so, when was your first CD? So I didn't know. I wouldn't have recognized him because I'm not good like that. But since this guy behind me was grilling him.
Guy behind you. Now, where were you where you bumped into him?
Well, it turns out he owns a little teeny tiny restaurant.
Bistro.
And so he was having lunch, and we were having lunch right next to him. And then so we were going to order tea, and then he was such a nice guy to this jerk who was just giving him the third degree behind us. And then he came in, he was chatting with us about our teas. And, of course, he had a dog, so I'm talking with him about his dog. So, we're quite
funny. He was talking to you about your teas?
Did he say nice teas?
Your cup size? What was he talking
That's
about?
Right. He consulted me. I wanted green tea. And they had, being New York, they had 20 green teas to choose from. So he said, get the one with the chrysanthemums.
Listen to me, baby. I know you've got to be up there to move our stuff out of that apartment. But at some point... Now listen, I'm not advocating. There are three choices with our dog Max. We can either take the dog to a dog psychologist, which I know is crazy, or we can simply live with his fits of behavior.
I have neglected him. Or we can just so guilty.
Just put him down.
Yeah. What's Max doing that is causing you that stress?
When I said that to her today, she flipped out because she thought I was serious.
Put the dog down.
Here's what the dog is doing now.
Have to spend more one-on-one time with Max. He gets very jealous of the baby dog.
And what he does now is he relieves himself in the house. Now, he's the best of the three. He never, we've had him, I don't know, 10 years. He never goes to the bathroom in the house. This morning I go downstairs. He and the little one, Rudy, the two terriers, they sleep in this, one of these, animal crate things that's got, like, blankets and stuff in it, so they don't tear the house up at night. Well, I get up, and I go down, and I open the thing up, and I go, hey, Dave, where's Daddy's boys? And they're both like, we love you, Daddy. We love you, Daddy. We love you. We love you. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. And I was giving each of the dogs equal attention, right. The little dogs, the big dog, the German Shepherd is already outside. And at one point, Max, the middle dog, the terrier, he just stopped, looked at me, lifted his leg, and peed all over the carpet.
Wow. While he's excited.
No. He's mad.
He is.
He's mad. He did the same thing in front of Carrie Spiewak when the Spiewaks were house-sitting for us.
Wow. Right.
And he's done the same thing in front of Bart.
Yeah, he's mad, and it's because I'm out of town. He won't do it in front of me.
So that's what he's doing to protest?
Yes.
That's right. Wow. He's saying, F you.
Imagine
where's my mother?
Yeah. So it's not like a dribble, a little nervous dribble.
No, was. It's one of those things where he just
lifts his leg and just goes, "Hey."
And I'll say this: he's got some balls, even though he doesn't have balls because we had him taken off. He looked right at me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just look me in the eye and, hey, Dad, look at this.
He's talking to you.
Lifted up his leg and just, I mean, and not just a couple of drops. I mean, a spray. And I went ballistic.
He wants attention and he got it.
Right away he knew. And you know that he knows, even though he's only got the brain the size of a peanut. I'm going, Max!
Yeah. Imagine if humans did that when they were mad at somebody.
Bad boy! Hey, we should do that at our meeting tomorrow.
Absolutely. If he says something we don't like... right there on the carpeting.
We just whip him out. We start having a sword fight.
What do you think of this, Mr. Veep?
So anyway, he was, he's crazy. This dog
I'm feeling guilty. I'm going to have to carry him.
This dog is crazy. So I'm on the phone with Freedom. I said, I don't know what's wrong with Max. And she said, well, give him some more attention. I said, no problem. I put the other two dogs outside. Mm-hmm. And then the dog does this. I say, okay, Max. Hey, Maxie, the other dogs are outside. Come here with Daddy. And I know it's part of his nature, because he's a terrier, that he'll run towards you, and then when you get towards him, he'll run away. Mm-hmm. So we end up playing this game, and I just get so pissed at him that I end up chasing him around the house. It's finally like, come here, I want to be nice to you.
Yeah.
So finally what I have to do is I scoop him up, and I take him to the room where I'm at, and I shut the door, and now, who's the mental patient here? He's on the ottoman, and I'm sitting on the chair, and I'm holding his little hands his face in my hands. And really, I swear to God, I said, Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you more than the other doggies. You know that. Daddy loves you the most. Now, you're in here with Daddy. And you know where the other dogs are?
Right.
They're outside where it's hot. Now, don't pee on my carpet anymore.
But you don't mean it, do you?
No, Clink's my favorite.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Hope the radio's not on.
Max knows that. But I knew you were BSing him.
But I love Max. Max is my second favorite.
Don't they say, like, wolves can smell fear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with the human. The little dog, descendants of wolves, even if it's a little dog, can tell that you're not being sincere because you're going, you're my favorite, even though I'd like to really kill you for peeing on the carpet.
Well, the other one, you know, Clink is taking giant dumps downstairs when he's, like, flipped out by the rain. I yell at him, too. And I've yelled at the other one, too. I mean, I love them all. I'm very affectionate towards the dogs, and they're very affectionate towards me. It's just it was an isolated outburst that, for whatever reason, set me off. So I'm like, really, seriously, like crazy going, now, Daddy loves you, and we're going to spend some time together alone today. And after I gave him this big heart-to-heart, and now I understand I'm talking to an animal that, you know, licks his own private area.
Yeah, but remember that. You'd do that if you could.
And eats, well, and he eats poop. I wouldn't do that if I, and I can, and I don't. So I get done with this whole thing, and I said, there, that's a good boy. That's a good boy. I started rubbing his belly. That's a good boy. At that moment, he just gets up and stands by the door. And I said, Maxie, come here. Come back. Come get the chair with Daddy. Come on. And he just stood at the door and pushed his nose against the door. Mm. Now, the door was shut, so he just stands with his nose like this. You know, pushing to get out. So I said, okay, this is Burger King. Have it your way. I open the door up, and he just, it's like, F you. He just walks away and goes to a corner where he just sits. And then we play this game of stalemate where he went and sat in the corner. I said, come here, Max. Come on. Come on. Daddy loves you, Max. And then he would walk towards me, and now at this point, I'm down on my knees on the floor. And I'm going, come here, Daddy, we're Daddy's boy. And then he would get within like 5 inches of me, and I would reach out to hold him, and he would run away. And finally, I just said, fine.
Take a
dump. That's why I said, fine, take a dump. And I don't know, maybe he understands this on some level. I said, let me get the dogs who understand human commands. At that point, they opened the door, and I said, come on in, boys.
Hey, here we go.
And I let them all come in, and just, it's, you know, it's nuts. The dog, how dare that dog?
Well, what's the dog's future?
But you have to remember, that dog was Clink's best friend until little Rudy, who's a kiss-ass to Clink, came, and they pal together, and Max is left out.
Well, the future
it's
is...
It's very sad.
The future is that I love that dog, which is why I would never put him down, but he will make a beautiful... some kind of, I don't want to say fur collar, but he will make some kind of a beautiful adornment. No,
accessory.
No, honey, the truth is, no, hey, listen, no matter what he does, of course, what are we going to do? We're going to keep him. I mean, we have no choice.
I put up with a lot more from you.
I know you have.
And look at Bart. I mean, that's a little pee on the rug.
But neither Bart or I have done that.
Yeah, well, no, but I can't stop you from going off the deck, and I've tried, and I've shamed you. I've done everything but rub your nose in it, and you still go off the deck.
He only does that when he's angry at you.
And I don't do it because I'm mad at you.
Do it when I'm out of town, particularly. It's the same.
Oh, I do love doing it when she's gone, like today. No, I do love it. It's so freeing.
Being off the deck.
Just to go outside and just, you know, because you're in the backyard. No one can see you.
That's a man's thing. It's your yard. And
we got no neighbors back there. It is just yank down your shorts and just right through the little rails there on the deck. Like, whoa, look at that. Man, what a fire hose.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, baby,
Moby would not do that.
Your friend Moby probably sits down to go number one. All right, darling. Well, love you. That's the update with the dogs. And hey, how about that, Mike? Huh?
I'm so happy for him.
Oh, come on now.
Mr. Mayor, listen seriously. When a package comes tomorrow, don't open it because it's got a surprise. It's something I don't want you to see.
Really? What would that be?
Some of Moby's
DNA.
No.
Oh, all right, our anniversary. Okay, I got it.
Right.
All right, baby.
How many years are you guys going to be married?
22.
Wow.
That's right.
Well,
that's
good.
All right, Chicky Bear. I haven't finished shopping for you yet either.
Okay. Well, hurry on that. I mean, not on me, but just hurry on the shopping. I thought you were going up there just to, you know, watch the guys put stuff into boxes. I didn't know you were going
to
be shopping.
I wasn't planning to, but there are some sales. Yeah. So it's not my fault.
I know. Well, that's the Maryland factor, isn't it?
No, like, she hasn't bought a thing.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you women are, you know, you pack, you know, when you get a pack, And right. her friend Marilyn is up there with her. And when they, you know, when they get in a pack together, that's when they really start acting up.
Yeah, it's like hunting.
That's why it's good, Mike, that you're keeping just that one girl isolated.
You know, I can tell
we're going to revert back to this again and again. I'm
sure.
But, you know, it's stealing me for this evening, so I'm fine.
No, we are done with this for now.
Okay.
All right, baby. I'll see you.
All right. Good.
All right, bye, love
TV.
You. All right, love
Congratulations,
you.
Congratulations, Mike. Bye, Buzz.
I love
bye.
You, baby.
Bye, bye.
Hey, hello.
Yes.
I said I love you like a million times.
Oh, I love you, too.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye. Mike, I'm sorry. Just one more thing I'll do. Hey, Tim.
Oh, no.
Hey, Tim. I just saw Tim walk by the window.
Yeah, so did I. He was just walking by the window. What are you doing?
Tim!
What's
I don't know if he knows.
Okay, that'll be enough of that.
That's a joke.
Thank you.
That's a joke. Thank you.
It's a joke.
Okay, break here. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's fucking awful. It's a young man. Heart disease. A silent killer. There are worse ways to go. Even still, I'm the patient, dude. Pretty f***ing humiliating. So I was dying. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. Producer of Simpsons.
The Don and Mike Show. They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, you know, normally I play this song because I love the intro, right? You know, One Hit Wonder Steam, 1969. Nah, nah, hey, hey. Everybody, 56 WFIL. And you know, it was the other side. It was
heard it in stadiums all around the country.
The other side was supposed to be the hit. And what they did was they said, let's record a song for the flip side, which is just the most ridiculous piece of crap we can come up with.
Right.
And somewhere, some disc jockey played the wrong side.
God bless him.
And the rest was history.
Man, that's a little music history that we don't get very often on this show.
And you know why I'm feeling that way? Because Casey Kasem is coming on today.
Ah, very good. You know, he's a nice guy. Really one of the nicest guys we've ever met.
Yeah, and I like him. He's like an icon.
Sure.
I'm not going to give him the sex quiz. The only way that I think this Casey Kasem thing is going to go bad is that we've had him on the show, I don't know, maybe 10 times. And we've even played in the tape about the effing dog dying. Mm-hmm. And he's dealt with that. We can't figure out why he's coming on the show.
Right.
He's got nothing to promote.
Really?
Roy Hill did some search when you go like to his website that links you to another website. We think he might be trying to promote his wife's line of baby furniture.
Really?
Which would be sad, at which point it could go bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hey, with the great case.
Really large furniture.
That has turned out to be one of the successful Hollywood marriages, right?
Yeah.
How long have they been married?
Long time.
Oh, wait, she carries around him around in the pocket of her...
Some years, I'm sure.
Casey is, I believe, 5'1". Gene Kasem, I believe, is 6'7".
Wow. Ever be able to relive that moment when we were in Hollywood? One time Casey Kasem said, really, whenever you're out here, please come to my home. And I'll keep this brief because we'll do this with him when he gets on the air. Mike and I actually drove to Casey Kasem's house.
In Beverly Hills.
And, you know, we had one of those things with the big gates and
beep. We taped it, didn't we?
Yeah. And said, hey, Casey, it's Don and Mike. And rather than say, you know, F you or go away, he said, come right up.
And they were remodeling, allegedly.
Yeah.
So he showed us the garage.
And fixed us a drink and we sat in Casey Kasem's.
Didn't he offer somebody a vitamin?
He offered all of us vitamins.
But who was sick?
Frank was.
Frank, our old producer, was sick.
Rest his soul. So anyway, that Casey Kasem today. The reason I played Na Na Hey Hey, though, Kiss Him Goodbye, was the beginning of our tribute, of course, to Bob Hope.
Big Kmart. This is big.
Now, today we are going to play the entire unedited Bob Hope All-American AP football team.
Very good.
We're going to have Bob Hope, I think.
Very exciting.
All of the stuff now is past. All of the sentimental J-O-ing like Tom Shales. God, Tom, why not just kill yourself and jump in the box with Tom, with Bob? You know, I mean,
glowing tributes to an American icon.
Last night, CBS had the audacity
to preempt yesteryear.
I can't believe it.
So they could do a special on Bob.
Wow.
That wasn't even his network. Thank Christ they did carry King of Queens,
yes. And their new time slot. Now, as the first part of our Bob Hope retrospective today, the tribute, as it will be called now, is the same way we call our Elvis tribute shows.
Right.
Well, this is something that I think you'll be happily surprised with. We have a Bob Hope file from the tabloids. Now, the file only goes back as far as 1996.
Very good.
But this is like a desk piece now, where I'll read the headline and show it up to you guys, and then
right.
tell you what the story's about.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that Bob Hope just kicked yesterday, January 28th, 2003.
This goes back to 1996.
That's as far back as our records went. I know that we have more, and we have been... My God, Mike and I have been working together almost 18 years.
God.
We have been goofing on Bob. Here is one of Mike's very early Bob Hope fake commercials.
It's Bob Hope's all-new celebrity vacation in the Bahamas.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Fair Bud Hope right here. Here it is. Yeah, isn't it marvelous, huh?
The legendary Bob Hope, host of fun-filled hour of comedy, music, and nudity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm naked, huh? Hi, baby. How are you doing?
It's all nude and all Bob, Saturday night on NBC, with special nude guests LaToya Jackson, Tony Randall, and Andy Williams.
And you're naked, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't they marvelous? Take a look at them. Aren't they fabulous?
I've never really laughed at Bob till you've seen him naked. It's Bob Hope's all-nude celebrity vacation in the Bahamas.
I'm naked, ladies and gentlemen.
Saturday night on NBC.
Hey, LaToya, sit right here, baby.
I forgot those.
Yeah. We've goofed on him for a long time. We started the file back in 96. Oh, you got one more, Rob?
I love this one.
Okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, these guys play more rock than my golf swing.
Metal Christmas. Join Bob and his guests, Sammy Hagar, Metallica, Def Leppard, Ozzy Osbourne, Anthrax, and Poison.
Wild, wild.
It's Bob's heaviest metal Christmas yet, with special guest appearances by Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, along with Brooke Shields and the AP All-America football team.
Hi, this is Bob Metal Madness Hope. Hey, who is that wild guitar?
Rock with Bob tonight on NBC for Bob Hope's Heavy Metal Christmas.
Okay, so we used to have a million of them all the time. So don't think, like with Elvis, we're just jumping on this bandwagon.
No, not at all.
So now let's go back chronologically. April 1996, from the Globe. The headline?
Yes.
Last Hope.
This is 1997.
Wow. 92-year-old comic is slipping away. Looks forward to golf with old pal Bing.
They killed him off a little too early.
Yeah. Quote, Bob looks very tired and weak as he slowly shuffled along the stage supported by his wife, Dolores. People gasped at his gaunt appearance, his bone-white hair and confused manner. He spoke, but everything was unintelligible. Within 30 seconds, Dolores led him off stage.
Yeah.
Friends who have seen the aged star at his Palm Springs and Toluca Lake, California homes confirm he's a shell of a man who has traded quips with presidents, joked with Brooke Shields on TV, and soft-shoed with Bing Crosby. He starts to tell a joke now and stops before he gets to the punchline. A few minutes later, he'll start telling the same story again and forget the ending. It's tragic to see him like this.
You know what's funny about the Globe? At that time of that morning, when the way they write it, you'd think he was 35 years old.
I know.
He's 92!
Right? Hold on. Let's move up.
Yeah. Because, what cracked me up, are they all kind of like, do they have kind of a similar thing?
No, you're going to find different stuff here.
All right, good. Very good.
That was April 1996.
Right.
May 1996. Bob Hope turns 93, and he's still going strong.
There you go.
The tabloids. Now, you're going to remember this one. Because we did a lot of bits about this story.
Right.
Bob granted an exclusive interview to the Inquirer. So this is not one of the times that they had...
This is like, how many years later is this?
This is 7 years ago.
Okay.
And this was just 2 months after Globe got printed last
right
year. So it says, I attribute my long life and my happiness to Dolores, blah, 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 blah. The comedian is remarkably fit, says I am still going strong. when I get up in the morning, I always have something to do. Everybody thinks Bob is on his last breath because he walks slowly and his balance is off. But the reality is Bob is going blind. He walks slow so he won't fall down. That's when we called the Bob Hope Health Center.
Right.
Out in Los Angeles.
Wow, right.
Because we thought that was funny.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Hope Health Center. Let's move on now to 2 months later, The Inquirer. 2 months after doing the story, Bob Hope turns 93, still going strong.
Right.
The headline.
There it is.
2 months later, Bob's brave last goodbye. Health failing at 93, he doesn't forget, beloved fans. And let's see.
Tabloids kill me.
Yeah. You might remember some of the bits that we did along with these stories. Bob Hope's health is crumbling fast in his tragic last days, but he's heroically making public appearances. At 94, Bob cannot see or hear, and he needs support if he needs to walk more than a few steps. Let me see. I saw him not long ago in a restaurant. He was sitting at a table with a bunch of people, completely oblivious to what was going on. All of a sudden, he started humming. He started blank. Later, The Inquirer, 2 months after doing the story, Bob Hope turns 93, still going strong.
Right.
The headline.
There it is.
2 months later, Bob's brave last goodbye. Health failing at 93, he doesn't forget, beloved fans. And let's see.
Tabloids kill me.
Yeah.
You might remember some of the bits that we did along with these stories. Bob Hope's health is crumbling fast in his tragic last days, but he's heroically making public appearances. At 94, Bob cannot see or hear, and he needs support if he needs to walk more than a few steps. Let me see. I saw him not long ago in a restaurant. He was sitting at a table with a bunch of people, completely oblivious to what was going on. All of a sudden, he started humming. He started He stared blankly ahead and just kept humming louder and louder. Dolores didn't know what to do. She finally put her hands on her ears and said, Bob, this is not a concert. Shut up. Bob stopped, but it was clear he didn't know what was going on. The ailing star also stuns friends by showing up at golf courses. He needs two people to help him to the tee, but once there he has a picture-perfect swing.
Wow.
Then they cart him to where the ball landed and walk him to it. And at the time in this article, Bob was spotted eating in public at the Bob's Big Boy on Wilshire Avenue in Los Angeles. You might remember we did that Big Boy.
And he did, in fact, eat there.
So, in 1996, The Inquirer went from 93 and still going strong,
right,
to Bob Hope's brave last goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Also in 1996, from The Inquirer, Bob Hope's dying wish.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. You can make his dream come true.
Oh, that's nice.
I've lived a rich and full life. Bob once again gave, for whatever reason, an exclusive interview to The Inquirer.
These are his quotes.
Yeah.
They probably have like a Bob Hope desk.
I've led a rich and full life, and I want to be knighted. It would make my life complete. He disclosed that Bob was very interested in blah, 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 because he was originally from England.
Oh, yeah.
Then they recap. Not long ago, he broke out humming loudly in the middle of a Bob's Big Boy.
See, now they're retreading the story.
His wife, Dolores, had to tell him that at times Bob shows up on the golf course, blah, blah, blah. And what we did with this one was we called Buckingham Palace. You see Rob's note with the phone number.
Right.
We called Buckingham Palace to say, please, knight Bob.
Did Bob call Buckingham Palace?
Bob may have. Also in 1996.
Knight me, baby.
Let's go to the Globe. Now, this would be positive. Bob Hope walks down the aisle.
Yeah.
And now you might remember this, because we did call. It said, Bob, and check it out. Whenever Bob Hope wants to pick up a little exercise, he strolls around his local supermarket.
Uh-huh.
Bob is a frequent visitor of Priscilla's Coffee Shop, Starbucks, and a Bob's Big Boy restaurant. We knew that because
we knew it. We confirmed the Bob's Big Boy. Did we call the...
We called in no particular order on this show in 1996. We called Vaughn's Supermarket,
mm-hmm.
Priscilla's Coffee Shop, Starbucks, and then we recalled the Bob's Big Boy just because that was so much fun.
Just to see, and I think we got some confirmations, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so that's Bob walks down the aisle.
Lovely pictures of Bob in all these articles.
1996, The Examiner.
Here we go.
Wow.
Secret to living legends longevity.
Longevity.
Longevity, excuse me. Yogurt.
I swear to God, they have Bob desks there.
At 94, feisty Bob Hope says stories of his failing health are greatly exaggerated. I intend to live longer than George Burns. The ageless comic says the secret is his good genes and a container of yogurt every night before he goes to bed.
Where's my yogurt?
And then here you have the picture of Bob with the shirt up to his nipples. And a friend going to buy a carton of yogurt.
The same picture that was in the last article.
Yeah. I do believe that's the story that had us starting on Bob eating prime rib out of a blender.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Every night his dinner was yogurt, so he had to liquefy everything.
All right, now from the star, we're moving down to 1997. Simply 6 years ago.
Okay.
Feisty Bob Hope talks to star. I'm going to live to 100.
There you go.
Never say die. Bob Hope has a bold message for his fans. I'm going to break 100, and I'm not talking about golf. Also from 1997, frail Bob Hope, sent reeling by new books, Ugly Charges.
Mm.
You might remember we had this author on the show, Bob Hope, the road well traveled. Frail Bob Hope and his family are shattered over a new biography that portrays the beloved entertainer as an unloving husband who kept a mistress until age 90.
God.
Family furious at claims that Bob kept a mistress till he was 90, exploited GIs, and that his marriage is a hollow sham. Let me see. When
did we call anybody for that one?
No. We just read that one. Also from 1997. Book Bombshell, Bob Hope's Vietnam Nightmares. Vietnam soldiers weren't as friendly to Bob as World War II GIs. Says this was, again, the same guy, The Road Well Traveled. There was just another article about this. Apparently, one time Bob is on stage in Vietnam. After 15 minutes, he's being drowned out by booze.
Mm.
The troops started throwing things at him and tried to rush the stage.
Yeah.
It was getting very menacing, very close to a riot. The MPs had to form a protective guard on stage, and Bob Hope was physically shaken and had to stop the show.
Mm.
The book, though, does make it clear that the troops were not angry at Bob, but the establishment that he represented.
Right. Bob's still giving him lots of material, giving almost as much as Elvis gives.
1997. Bob Hope fires back at cruel Woody Allen. After he brands the comic legend, age 95, lazy.
Oh, God.
Beloved Bob Hope is struck back against an amazing attack by Woody Allen, who said the 95-year-old comedian is lazy. Hope is steamed when he heard about Allen's cheap shot, and he said, Woody who? Anger quickly gave way to hurt. Deeply wounded by the neurotic comic snipes, the frail and elderly Hope said, quote, it's infuriating. It comes out of left field. I've always given all to my work. Can Mr. Allen say the same? And what's funny is, if you're watching any of the coverage on TV, Woody Allen's one of these guys on TV now saying how great Bob was.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also tabloid.
1997. The headlines are the funniest. It's from the Globe. Bob Hope. Don't bury me yet.
God. It's amazing. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
He keeps going and going. As he nears his 95th birthday, Bob Hope is a frail, fading shadow of a comic.
He just loved
became
to write
an icon.
That.
God.
Bob is urging pals not to bury him yet. 95 is a big number. Bob tells the Globe in an exclusive interview.
Uh-huh. Boy, he gave a lot of exclusive interviews.
But to me, it's just a number. Although he's lost his sight and his hearing is failing and has great difficulty walking, the fabulous funny man is on the move. Bob is like the Energizer Bunny. Made many public appearances, blah, blah, blah. Let's move on.
Do you think all these alleged exclusive interviews, they just went ahead and said that because they knew he wouldn't waste time suing them?
I don't think so, because I think a lot of times...
Think they called him up?
Yeah, I think he probably did it to stop the bad ones.
Exactly.
But what he didn't realize, he'd give them one, they'd do a good one, and like 2 weeks later they'd win one saying that...
Yeah, like Bob's still going strong, and then 2 weeks later he's frail.
Right. Now, here you go. 1998.
Okay.
5 years ago, from the Star. Headline. Tragic. Bob Hope can't even recognize his wife.
Oh, jeez.
This is the one where he's really got the rabbit eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, once again, he's what, 95 at this point?
96, I guess.
96.
I'd be 95 or 96. Ailing Bob Hope, 95, Mike. Ailing Bob Hope has taken a dramatic turn for the worse. Now he can no longer recognize his wife or his children.
Wow.
Bob has been showing signs of failing health for some time now. But no one was ready for this sudden and shocking decline.
No, nobody's ready for a 95-year-old man to go into a decline.
Which began shortly after he was seen in public a month ago at Milton Berle's birthday. He can't hear and he can't see, but he was pretty sharp. A few weeks later, it was like he was turned off.
Mm.
Can't remember who his staff or friend or family are. Most tragically of all, he doesn't remember who his wife is. I can't wait for that to happen to me.
Oh, God.
They've been married 65 years, and it's a shock for Dolores. Doesn't remember his kids or grandkids. He gets confused and calls kids other people's names. Bob used to be very funny, but now he's different. And from the same paper,
right,
the Star, 3 months later... Bob Hope's amazing comeback.
There it is.
He's turning back the clock at 95. The walk slower, the hearing and eyesight could be better, and the memory fails sometimes, but Bob Hope is battling back against Father Time. Incredibly, Bob has stunned and delighted those who feared he was on the brink of death in 1997 in better condition than he has ever been. And he has a message for his fans. Again, Bob quoted, I want to tell you, I'm going to live to be 100. Let's move to...
Man of his word.
Yeah. Move to 1998. Same thing. Exclusive interview with America's favorite funny man.
Gave a lot of interviews.
The Globe. Bob Hope. How I'll live to be 100.
There you go. The same theme.
Now, from The Globe, 2 weeks later... As a Hollywood legend turns 96, Bob Hope's secret to a long and healthy life, plenty of burgers and ice cream.
Oh, I love these tabloids.
Bob Hope returns 96 on May 29th, says living to a ripe old age is easy if you know how. In an exclusive interview, he's delighted to let Globe readers in on his secret. Moderation. Even in his balanced diet, says Bob, in the exclusive Globe interview. You have an occasional burger or ice cream cone. Most importantly, laugh a little, live a lot. And there's Bob with the ice cream cone, a little bit drooling on his hand.
Mm, there you go.
Let's now move to 1999.
Now what?
Devastating setback for 96-year-old showbiz legend.
He's up, he's down.
Bob Hope stunned in wheelchair tumble.
Oh, no.
Beloved entertainer Bob Hope plunged from his wheelchair and crashed to the floor, where he lay stunned. A devastating accident for a 96-year-old man that could have proven deadly. Mm-hmm. Now the comedian, deaf and blind,
Jesus,
is vowing to fight back from his latest setback.
I swear to God, they got a Bob Hope department at these tabloids.
And now they quote Art Linkletter.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy. He doesn't even recognize me now. He can't hear, he can't see, he doesn't communicate. When my wife Lois and I had dinner with Bob and Dolores, he sat there and said nothing.
Lois Linkletter.
Although Bob is adamant he'll see the next century, some of his closest friends are concerned. He's close to the end. His health is so frail, It could happen at any moment. At an old pal's funeral recently, Bob was in his wheelchair when his head nodded and his shoulder slumped. For moments, people thought Bob had died. But he just went to sleep.
Yeah.
And with a little shake, he was awake again.
A little shake.
Let's see. Let's go to the part about the wheelchair.
Didn't work this time.
The crash happened days after Bob triumphantly switched on the Christmas lights at Disneyland on November 22nd.
They're just following this poor guy.
Good triumph, Bob.
My God.
The beloved star, which is, I guess, how they, you know, they cover their ass.
That's how, you know, they read all this crap about him, and then they put beloved star.
The beloved star, who often has to use a wheelchair, was accompanied by his wife, Dolores. When it came time to hit the switch, Bob got up and made a feeble body motion with a golf club to trip the lever. But he was so weak to the stroke, the effort appeared to leave him exhausted. By the time he got back to the Hustoluca Lake home, he was shaking from fatigue.
You know, here's the part. Now, think about when they write these things. By the time he gets back, like they had a reporter in the bushes.
Bob Hope, official spokesman, Ward Grant, says Bob Hope collapsed. I heard the crash and walked in and saw Bob struggling on the floor, and my heart sank. Once I realized he was going to be all right, I thanked God, and over again, I know Bob will be with me forever. Assistants helped Bob from the floor and carried him to his bed.
Now, this is an official spokesman?
Yes.
Official spokesman for Bob Hope.
Ward Grant.
If you really dug deep and tried to examine how a guy can get that title, it might be a lot easier than you think.
Mike, 1999er.
Official drink of the Olympics.
The Examiner. Brave Bob Hope.
Now we're going down the brave train.
Final goodbyes for fragile 96-year-old comedy legend. Ailing showbiz ledge Bob Hope is so frail he can't even stand up. But he's bravely facing the twilight of his long life.
Right.
Yes, at his birthday party bash, which kicked off this year's Bob Hope Classic, blah, 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 fear of the worst as they waited more than 2 hours without any sign of the 96-year-old entertainer. Finally, a gasp rippled through the room when Bob arrived in a wheelchair. When he was wheeled in, he was given a standing ovation. He attempted to smile, put his hand up, and gave a little wave. People were saying thanks for the memories. Jokesters Bill Murray and Tom Dreesen and Melissa Manchester welcomed him. And the beloved funny man was helped by friends and family from his wheelchair to a seat with President and Mrs. Ford.
At this point, it's he's 96. And they're dying to kill him off. Yeah.
Now here you go. May 2000. Bob Hope turns 97.
There it is.
That's the headline. His final wish. Let me die with dignity.
Mm-hmm. obviously the tabloids are giving that to him.
Yeah. So Robbie, is that where it ends? Is that?
That's it.
That's all we got. So let's just real fast.
Did the stories dry up? When it just became the norm that everybody knew it was accepted that he was in horrible health, and then they just didn't have anything more to write. Right?
Yeah, the best I can remember it is his last NBC special, I think, was in 1993.
Right.
And then a few years after that was really the heyday for the Bob Hope tabloid articles, like 1996.
Right.
And then when it became more common that he was ill, they sort of left the guy alone.
There you go. Now, in chronological order, from 1996 to the latest in 2000, I'm going to do it real fast one more time. Last Hope.
These are the headlines.
92-year-old comic is slipping away but looks forward to go off with Bing. Bob Hope turns 93 and he's still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hope's brave last goodbye. Bob Hope's dying wish. He is ailing and fading fast. Bob Hope walks down the aisle. Funny man limbers up with Supermarket Johns. Bob Hope miracle. Yogurt. Don't count me out yet. I'm going to live to 100, feisty Bob Hope talks to star. Frail Bob Hope sent reeling by book's ugly charges.
Right.
Family furious, it claims that Bob kept a mistress till he was 90, exploited GIs in his marriage is a hollow sham. Bob Hope's Vietnam nightmare. Vietnam soldiers weren't as friendly to Bob as World War II GIs. Bob Hope. His hearing and eyesight are failing, but as America's favorite funny man turns 95, he says, don't bury me yet. Uproar over vicious attack on America's favorite funny man, Bob Hope, fires back at cruel Woody Allen.
Cruel Woody Allen.
After Woody Allen brands comic legend lazy. Tragic, Bob Hope can't even recognize his wife.
Bob Hope's amazing comeback. He's turning the clock back at 94.
Bob.
Bob Hope, exclusive interview. How I'll live to be 100. Bob Hope's secret to a long and healthy life. Plenty of burgers and ice cream.
Yeah.
Devastating setback. Bob Hope stunned in wheelchair tumble.
Mm. Brave Bob Hope.
Brave Bob.
Final goodbyes for fragile legend. Bob Hope turns 97. His final wish, let me die with dignity.
And those are just the ones we have.
Yeah. Right. Those are just the ones we
there
kept.
There were millions of them.
Just the ones we kept in our file.
Unbelievable.
Christ, that's it's great.
And you know what?
Bob Hope sells.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I want
it.
To tell you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you. It's wild.
Well, that's life, I guess.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
You know?
Yeah. And now when you go through all that and you're playing some of these tapes, we've been into Bob Hope for a long, long time.
We're very, very...
I mean, almost, he's almost Elvis status. Mm-hmm. Not quite. Yep. But you know, we've been having fun with Bob for a long time.
There's not as much bad stuff about Bob.
Maybe there's not, but it's just his personality.
However,
and you know, it was fun.
When he really got phoebed out, like on the tape that we'll play in its entirety in a minute here, the All-America football team tape, the one that we've never played, 7.5 minutes long, we've never played the entire tape on the air. I think...
Rob just reminded me. I remember when I had Fly Baby on my license plate?
All right, because of Bob Hope.
Mm-hmm. That's what Bob Hope, I thought he'd say.
Fly Baby.
And I actually put it on my license plate. I don't know. Oh, Bob.
Okay. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Did you wash the ass today?
Moving faster than the speed of justice. The Don and Mike Show.
So how you liking all the people coming by the window?
Oh, it's no problem whatsoever.
Giving you, it's not a hairy eyeball they're giving you. It's more of a,
you know what?
How you doing?
Yeah, whatever.
How you doing?
How you doing?
What's up, Doc? How you doing?
That reminds me, I got to write myself a note. I think sometime this week,
yes.
Even though most listeners hate it, and too bad because they just don't know what's funny. We're going to have to do Shaq and...
Dennis.
Shaq and Dennis discussing Kobe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's some bad luck. What's up, Doc? I think his name is Kobe. Go back. He went out buying a $4 million diamond. What's up, Doc?
How you doing? I always take a picture of my hoes. Take a Polaroid before you bring them.
My toe hurts. That's why they call it Radio Shack. What's up, Doc?
How you doing?
And there, in a nutshell, you've heard the...
That's the one of the greatest bits ever invented in radio.
I agree.
We love doing that. We truly do. Hello, Don and Mike Show. No one else does.
Right.
But we do.
We love
it. Hello. Thanks, Rob. You don't count, though. You're biased.
I know. Never
Hello. Don and Mike. Hi.
Hey, I was just going to talk to you about this British Banzai skit I just saw. Because Banzai was on in Britain before it got here.
Yeah.
It's called a very tricky furry friend decision. You're supposed to sit there with your cat next to you and bet on these 10 different skits. And every time you get a skit bet wrong, you dial one number of your vet's telephone number. And if you miss all the skits, you're supposed to talk to your vet and have him put your cat down.
Now that's,
Jesus.
You know, it took a while for you to stumble through that, son, but
right.
That's not bad.
You know, yeah. But you guys are so right in your analysis. I watched a little of Banzai the other night.
Okay, so Mike finally watched it. Will he like it or not?
Bet you bet no! Quick!
I bet no.
Say no.
Betting to ends.
I hated it.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing. It's the audio is so much more fun than the video. The video is just ridiculous. It's like looking at a strobe light.
And some of the concepts are not bad.
Right. Like, yeah, but some of them are cheap. Well, some of them are a rip-off, and they're just totally lazy. You know, they just, I mean, I'm trying to think what the one thing, I don't remember the one thing.
We really oversold it to you, though, because we played.
But the tapes are what sold it.
Some of the best sounding stuff from the show.
You know, the one where they're looking into an umbrella, and they have to decide which umbrella is going to open, and you think the whole thing's going to explode in the guy's face, and then when he pulls the trigger, the thing just, like, taps him in the forehead.
Yeah.
And he goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And it's just completely fake.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, yeah, I'm wondering if you guys are familiar with Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Is that on TNT or TNN?
TNN.
Yeah, talked about it already, my friend.
Oh, love the show.
Thank you.
What is
you meant that show.
What is Extreme Elimination Challenge?
That's the one I talked about one day. Broyhill hit me to that. It's on Saturday nights at 9:30.
Right.
And it's the one where the girl was walking across the piece of rope, and they were really firing gigantic water cannon, water
trying to knock her off,
balloons at her. Yeah, it was really cruel. And when the guys did it, they were on top. Underneath of them was a pit of manure.
Wow!
So that if they got knocked off, they actually had fall into cow s.
Wow!
And that's a real Japanese show.
Yeah.
The problem is that they've done the same thing as Bond's overdubbing now, which is like. And Barohim is out of his cow dung.
Is the Fox show, I mean, does that come from Japan?
No.
So all those letters and characters are...
It's a parody.
Yeah. Right.
At least that's what they want you to think. It's a parody.
Right.
But it is created, I believe it aired originally in Britain. Then it aired, redubbed in, I think, like the USA Network. But these are all new episodes.
It's
a headache.
It's painful
really
to watch. It is. It's painful to watch.
It's funny to listen to. It's funny
great
to
listen
painful.
To. I mean, really, you know. Betting to end.
Betting to end. Yes. You got it, Robbie?
No, I took it out.
Oh, you took it out? Never mind. Don't worry. Don't bother putting it back in.
Yeah, we get a headache.
Boy, that's not too gay, incidentally, if that was isolated.
Sounded like it.
Did you take it out, Rob? You took it out? Don't put it back in.
Don't bother putting it back in. It's much too...
Hello, Don and Mike show. Painful.
Ow!
Hello?
Complete discharge.
What? Hello?
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 Yes, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Is this a real guy or a tape?
No, it's a real guy.
Hi.
Your voice sounds like what you would hear on one of those tape information segments.
Yeah, hello. I wish to speak with Mr. Jones. On what aisle is the feminine hygiene products?
Now, are you a real guy, or is this like a tape or a computer?
No, it's a real guy.
Oh, it's a real guy. Okay.
It's
well,
a real guy.
Well, what can we do for you?
I just wanted to say hi from Las Vegas, and there ain't no Bambis out here being hunted.
Can you say, press 1 if you'd like to speak to a representative?
I'm sorry. The only person willing to help you is an in today. Press 1 if you wish to speak to a representative.
Hey, sounds like that generic guy.
Yeah. How about this? Because we can use this at some point. Say, Alan Linewand is busy in the bathroom squeezing out a big number 2.
Alan Linewand is busy right now squeezing out a big number 2. I forgot to say bathroom, didn't I?
Okay, take it from the top. Alan Linewand is not available now. He's in the bathroom squeezing out a big number 2 on company time. To leave a message, press 1.
Alan Linewand is not available right now. He's in the bathroom squeezing out a big number 2. Please press 1 for a whatever.
Hey, I got one more for you, okay? All right.
Do that one first, though, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Alan Linewand.
Hold on.
We got to use this guy. We got to save him.
Alan Linewand is not available now.
Alan Linewand is not available now.
No. Let me give you the whole thing. Alan Linewand is away from his phone. Somebody dropped a penny in the hallway. Please leave your message at the tone.
Okay. Alan Linewand is away from his phone right now. Someone dropped a penny in the hallway.
If you haven't received your prize, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
But then you got to say, press 1 to leave a message.
Press 1 to leave a message, okay.
Okay, so...
Alan Linewand is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
Okay, now do Mike's.
If you haven't received your prize, simply bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
If you haven't received your prize, simply bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
No, you can't laugh.
I'm sorry.
And F off from Infinity Broadband.
But do the first one without laughing.
Okay. Now I've forgotten what it was.
If you haven't received God, he's got the voice,
smart.
But he's a dumb guy.
If you haven't received your prize,
bend over. Okay. If you haven't received your prize,
don't say it when we're talking.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
All right. If you haven't received your prize, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. Half off from Infinity Radio.
Close enough.
Okay. There you go.
Well, we did get a good one with the Allen one.
Right.
Hey, John, we have John.
He's already on it.
Card that up for me.
He's already doing it.
I'd love to call Allen and say we got a brand new message for him. For his machine. Because the one you get now is just that. You have reached the voicemail of
Allen Lineland.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Was that
Thanks,
it?
Matt.
Okay. All right. See
you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. From Vegas.
Communication got tougher and tougher as that call last year.
Could be a radio guy.
Yeah, could be a radio guy. Absolutely. He was dumb enough to be.
Duh.
You know, and I put both of us in that same category.
What?
Hello, it's Don and Mike.
I'm call 100.
Yeah, Ryan, hi.
Tell that retard to write it down if you can't remember.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Everybody has an opinion.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Opinions are like cowboy hats, Mike.
That's right.
Everybody looks good in them. Hello.
Wow.
Hello. Don and Mike?
They bailed.
Now, why did I say that like a question? Because I know it's us.
Is it me?
That's my fault. Don and Mike?
Hello.
Of course it's us. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
Mike, congratulations on your nuptials, by the way.
Oh, shut up.
Everybody be happy. Hey, who said it last week? I was a fake, is how he described it.
Now, here's another call that started. It was okay. He busted my balls, and then he just drifts away.
Is anyone listening?
Please, everybody. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, when you guys do your Dennis Rodman and Shaq routine, you've got to add Carl Malone in there now.
Oh, you must be calling from Salt Lake.
Exactly. There's been a joke going around about Carl, whenever you want his phone number, it's just like the Giants. B-5-0-B-P-4-5.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I love that he called that a routine.
Can you do that routine? That vaudeville routine.
Hey, John, Rob, before we hit a break, is John ready with that thing? I know it's a fast turnaround, but I'd love to just play it.
Don, in the age of digital technology, things get done quickly here.
Yeah, I know. And then we got some new Ernie Scarda here today.
Up and Adam, yes, sir. There's a special on Karn.
And don't forget that that big Casey Kasem thing coming up.
Very good.
I mean, how tough is it? What's he saying?
The tape is bulking right now. Before you
the tape is bulking?
Yeah.
Just play it from that room.
All right.
I just pull up production one and play it from that room? What is it, a BTS-2?
Wait, I can't even walk up this.
What was that?
Oh, that was one of the different BTS things.
Wow.
Okay. Call him on his cell. He'll enjoy this. He bothered me on my way to work today. I might as well bother him now.
Want to bother him.
Oh, bother. Hey, pal.
Oh, he's on his phone.
Somebody else.
Yeah, they make my life a living hell. Hold on, I got another call coming in.
Well, it'll show up as WJFK, though, so maybe he'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hey, Alan, it's Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, we got something great for you.
Oh, Alan?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Your voice is on the air. Is that okay with you?
Don, thank you. You could have called in the office.
It's on BTS.
BTS, too. I tried. Alan, listen, we had some guy that sounds like the guy that goes, you have called movie phone. And we got a great new message. We got a great new message for your phone. Roll it.
Alan, line one is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press one to leave your message now.
What do you think?
I like it.
All right. Do you want to hear it again? One more time.
Alan Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
Now. You're welcome.
That's very good.
We keep giving, don't we?
See you at the party.
You guys are creative.
Hey, guess what? We get to see you at the party. Then we get to see you at the meeting with the new numbnuts guy tomorrow.
How do you like that?
We're going to see you two whole times in 24 hours.
Unbelievable.
Hey,
I can't wait.
John, play it again.
Alan Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
Good.
The good news is we traded out the voice guy. That was Rob, Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hey, huh?
Bye, Al. Bye, Alan. Bye-bye.
Hey, John, would you play it one more time, please?
Alan, line one is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press one to leave your message now.
Oh, how great is that?
Oh, my God.
How freaking great is that? Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you're meeting tomorrow. Why don't each one of you, like, develop a little tick and, like, sit there during the meeting, like, either your eyebrow twitching or start to stutter. And just tell the guy that, you know, you take your medication just before you go on air.
Well, that's the whole Tourette's thing, if
you know,
actually did that.
Speaking of Tourette's, I was filling my car up with gas. This is like a month ago. No, about 2 weeks ago. And as I'm filling my car up with gas, a guy came out of the little convenience store. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at first. I'm reasonably sure it was Tourette's. Because all he was saying as he walked from the convenience store to his car was, God damn it! God damn it! Damn it.
You were just an unhappy customer.
No, I was, because it wasn't about anything. God damn. God damn it, God. And it was just, he was going on and on, like, as he got into his car.
Did you check the car? How come you didn't say hello?
Sir, do you have Tourette's?
No, it might have been me. That's what I'm saying. How come you didn't? So maybe I had a ball cap on or something.
No, it was not you. It was out of my neck of the woods. And the guy, you know, it appeared to
you
be.
You just waved at me in such a fag way.
Well, I mean, come on.
It couldn't have been you. You weren't out of my neck of the woods.
Don, it wasn't you.
Give me that fag way.
It wasn't you. Go away.
It wasn't you.
Stop it.
It wasn't you. I got lunch.
$7. Oh, you know. You.
Come on, I just want to work it in a little
you.
Bit. You. You're good, you.
You're good, you.
You're good. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Alan Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now. Alan Line 1 is not available right now. If you haven't received your prize, hand over and kiss your ass goodbye. Half off from Infinity Radio.
How charmingly ghetto.
Hey, what happened?
The Don and Mike Show. They like their cruelty the way they like their women. Naked. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kiss. All right, Casey Kasem coming up here in a second. That is going to be back to our tribute to Bob Hope.
Bob Robert Leslie Hope.
Including the first ever post-life interview with the dead Bob Hope.
From heaven.
Yesterday, here you go. Joe Ardinger.
Joe.
Generally does not much, and I'm fine with that. World's oldest phone screener. He actually found another tape of Ernie Scarr.
Arr, up and Adam.
And we played this late in the show yesterday. The forecast. What are the reservation weather?
Reservation weather.
Right. Rocket 99.
And we played the new one, which was a commercial for a grocery store.
Right. So now it says our Rocket. This is something Joe brought in today. Hey Joe, would you come here and tell me where you got this thing? I think it answers the question, is it a hoax or not?
Mm.
And we do have some tapes. Joe, who gave you this?
That is posted on the website where I bought the CDs from.
Okay, so it says, our Brocket 99 CD heard on the Don and Mike Show, July 28th, 2003. That's, yesterday. Only 4 days after Joe... ordered one of our Brocket 99 CD sets, the legendary Safeway commercial was played loud and clear on the nationally syndicated Don and Mike Show, which could be heard on radio stations in Canada and the U.S. Don and Mike announced the world debut of another Ernie Scarr tape. Of course, the commercials have been heard for years on my pitifully small show, but never has Brocket 99 been given such a huge audience.
Yeah.
Someone should tell this dude that we played that other tape for 10 years.
Yeah. Long time.
It's one of those whiny letters.
Before playing the commercial for Brocket Safeway, Don asked Joe, a Don and Mike employee with whom I have a bone to pick, where in God's name did you get this tape? Joe, the world's oldest phone screener, said he bought the two CDs from a website but didn't mention us by name. I somewhat understand that because the Don and Mike Show carries a heavy price tag for advertising, but Joe really didn't get the Brocket 99 story right as I relayed it to him via email. I also asked Joe if the CDs were for the radio show. I recognize his name and have been a fan of Don and Mike for over 10 years. His reply, which was emphasized twice, was, the CDs are for my personal collection.
So which is why I paid for them.
So I want to talk with him further and find out why that when it seems evident he wanted CDs for the show, Joe told Don and Mike, quote, I've done as much research as I can, so you've got to think he was putting together his research for the
show. Oh, God, this guy is verbose.
So, and first, let's be honest. What research does Joe do for the show?
Yeah.
And outside of the great job he does trick-or-treating for beer.
Absolutely.
And Joe's book club.
Sure.
And this was actually a project Joe did do on his own.
Yes. Yeah, completely on his own. It was a great find.
And we're very happy with it. I would have been happy if Joe did give as much information as I could for Don and Mike. Maybe Don knows about our website. Maybe he doesn't. I don't. That's the God.
Well, is he indicating that you didn't give us all the information about this Ernie K. Scar guy, or what's he trying to say?
I don't know what he's trying to say.
He's all over the place.
I think what he's trying to do is get a plug for his website.
If he ever sees the actual CD set, which I'm not, he'll know more about Brockett99.net. Okay, there's your plug. Because our tags are on both CDs. I'll let you know more about this part of the story as it unfolds. So this must be like on the front page of his website. Don went on to ask the audience to put Brockett into a Google search to find out if it was a real place. That I did. Brockett is indeed real. It's located in southern Alberta, Canada. Here is Rob Booing. And is home for many natives of the pagan tribe. It can't be pagan tribe. I've included a map and satellite picture below. Brockett 99 was created in 1986 by a few whiteys and has created controversy ever since. Brockett 99 is seen in some in the Alberta community as being a racist slap towards southern Alberta natives. See an open letter to the Alberta Rights Commission, blah, blah. It's very cool to hear Don and Mike laughing at the Brockett 99 show and wondering about the mystery of Ernie Scar and Brockett 99. It's fitting that our two CD set has made its way onto the Don and Mike show because it was there that I first heard Brockett 99. And it's also great to know that Brockett 99 bits will be heard by millions of people thanks to the Don and Mike show and, of course, www.brockett99.net. The circle is complete. Whitey. So, do with that what you will. I think.
Well, obviously, it's a bit. It's a bit that some guys did.
Right. But now, from reading this, I got to think, the guy says the first time he heard it was on our show 10 years ago. Right? Hold on.
Yeah, hey. And then I.
It's fitting our two CD set made its way onto the Don and Mike show because it was there I first heard Brockett 99.
I don't get it. He's so all over the place.
Joe, why don't you contact this guy again? And please, I gave him the plug. Please let him know I've not seen the website. I'll probably go look at it.
So he didn't create these?
No, he didn't. He just acquired them and he sells them on his website. I will teach.
And you know what? With the utmost respect. Yeah, it's funny, but it's a throwaway tape that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, we play it, we like it, but it's. You know, it's not legendary comedy.
I mean, the thing that makes his CDs special is that they're cleaned up with, you know, today's digital cleaning and stuff.
And he beeped out, like, the F word and the S word.
No, I did that.
Oh, you did?
They're uncut. Except for he brands them with his website name in certain parts of it, which I thought was kind of lame.
What do you mean he brands them?
Yeah, I don't understand that. He'll do, because the tapes... Like, I took some best of clips today.
Yeah.
But the tapes will actually have, like, the AC/DC songs on them, you know, 3.5 minute Hell's Bells.
Joe.
And so it'll go, like, Rockin' the Reservation, Brockett 99. And then you'll hear this guy's voice go, Brockett99.net, you know, in the background.
Well, a totally different voice from Ernie K. Scar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's plugging his website. You know, all I know is it's a tape that we played 10 years ago.
Much ado about nothing, gentlemen.
Made us laugh our asses off.
It's silly because I bought him. He didn't give them to me.
Right.
Okay, and I can do with him what I want.
All right, now here's more. Broyhill just went to the site again. In September of 1996, a few anonymous people made a tape. It was a parody of a reservation radio station. Little did they know that years later this tape would have a cult following not only in Alberta, Canada, but all over the world. This tape was branded Brockett 99 and elicited every known emotion. People were and still are divided about the meaning of the tape. In this online course, we intend to explore Brockett 99 with a word-by-word critical analysis in order to get its root cause. Rocket 99 stars Ernie Scar. Ernie's the morning DJ and the voice of the station. He cuts the spots and has the itchy foothold on the music. Ernie begins the broadcast day. We can hear what will be a disturbing trend. AC/DC songs are played over and over again. And then there's just more
wow.
stuff. Hottest rock on the reservation refers to Brocket 99. This is from the website.
I'm amazed.
But it doesn't tell you much.
But I'm amazed that all this yeah. is going on over this. It's,
and the mystery continues.
Yeah, the mystery does continue.
So listen, if this guy's listening, I don't know if we're...
Oh, he's a listener, all right.
In Alberta. Mm-hmm. I don't know if...
No. He's in Falls Church.
Quim, he's in Virginia?
Uh-huh.
So did...
I know more about the guy than I do...
Well, did he come up with this from listening to our show?
Well, he said he first heard him on the show. I mean, I haven't ever
seen here's the deal. If this guy's listening, call on the business line, call Joe, and schedule an interview.
Yeah, we want to clear this mystery up.
Because we're not pissed. We liked the original tape, and we've wondered on and off for years.
Whether it was real or not.
I mean, but keep in mind, we've not upset. Every day we've not come in and said, Mike, have you heard anything about the Ernie Scar tape?
No.
But it's a very funny tape. And if it's a parody, let's give credit to whoever... And apparently it is. Let's give credit. It's a funny tape. It's a funny concept.
Do you have itchy feet?
Come on, Don. Let's pull back the curtain. I was up till 3:30 last night.
Yeah.
You know, IMing you and trying to find as much as I could about it.
Yeah.
Look, the guy just kind of overreacted. I was surprised. Somebody gave that to me.
He just goes on and on.
Well, I mean, it sounds like are you on a site now, Bob?
I am. And if you thought that single letter was verbose, the entire website is. I mean, it's like Joe said, paragraph after paragraph of not really learning anything. He's obviously a computer nerd.
You know, if the guy wants a plug, all he's got to do is call up. I'll give him a plug. I laughed at the tape the first time I heard it.
Do we have any names for the guys that did this? You know, as far as the, if it is a parody, who did it? Or
well, there's an interview on the website with a guy named Jim Campbell, I guess, who absolutely won't admit to having anything to do with it.
Reservation
have a look at the weather update. Not too much of a change. Cloudy sky's going to stick around for the rest of the week, and it's frosty on the windshield. Use the social insurance card to scrape off the windshield if you're heading into town. A few clouds overnight, plus two tomorrow. Keep warm if you're heading out. Dress warmly. 17 now, below.
And another thing is that this guy could have heard it yesterday and easily emailed me and said, hey, dude, you know, if you want, I'll come on and talk about it. And see what I have to wake up to this.
Here's another one,
Joe. He's got a bone to pick with me.
Hold on, Joe.
Looking good, have sneaked as good about myself. And feeling good is something Indians take a lot of pride in. I'm Susie Squat to be. Aquanet Hairspray has been a friend of mine for many years. Before the party and during it. There's nothing like a nice hairdo to make his buckskin stand up and take notice. And if he needs a little courage, nothing a good stiff drink wouldn't cure. Aquanet Hairspray delivers on both counts. If Rocket General Store is out, get your white friends to get you some in Pincher Creek today. Don't let discrimination stand in the way. Aquanet Hairspray, the lady's choice.
All right, listen, Joe, Casey Kasem's on the phone.
That's the same guy.
I give all of this information back to you. Contact him, see if you can set up an interview for tomorrow. We'll get to the bottom of that. We're fans of that.
Absolutely.
The guy just shouldn't be such a dick about...
Well, and it's also not that big a deal.
Anyway, listen, joining us now, he's got a few minutes.
This guy is a big deal, incidentally.
Let's say hello to really one of the few people that I will show reverence to in this business, the great Casey Kasem.
Yes. Casey, how are you?
My goodness, what an introduction. You don't get better than that. Thank you very much.
Well, Casey, you know, it's absolutely true. I mean, what disc jockey, and there's not many of us left from back in the day, who would grow up listening to American Top 40, and I would actually, the very first station I worked at when I was 13, one of my biggest thrills was running American Top 40 on Sunday morning, and then being able to take the records home, because they came on records.
Right.
Take the records home and amaze my friends and go, listen to this. I got the Casey Kasem show on records.
Very cool.
Anyway, you know, and I'm sure you don't remember, Casey, it had to be well over 15 years ago. We were in Los Angeles doing a show for some reason in the middle of the night, your time.
Right.
And you invited us to your home.
That's right.
And we actually came to your house.
You took movies.
Yes, we do.
That, and you show, you were like remodeling or something, and you showed us your garage.
We're still remodeling.
Anyway, listen, really, the absolute dean of disc jockeys, and none of the stuff that we normally do to our guests, like the sex quiz or anything.
No.
We don't do it, and we've, as we mentioned to our audience now who didn't hear you back years ago, we've already covered the tape, the famous tape. No need to go through that.
Well, you mean the Snuggles tape?
Yeah, the dog dying.
How was about that?
You know, I don't think there is one piece of tape that is more widespread. And, you know, you must get asked about that all the time. And we've covered that with you before because that's all over the place.
No need to go through that. Just wanted to, you know, I don't even know what you're plugging here today. It was just a chance to say hello.
Can I tell you what we're doing?
Sure. A true radio legend. Yeah.
You know St. Joseph Aspirin, right?
Sure. Sure.
81 milligram aspirin is celebrating its 81st birthday to help raise awareness about heart health. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum is hosting a heart health hop, attempting a world record-setting dance party. And that's what we're doing right now. And they've been dancing to 42... people in the dance group have been dancing since this morning at 5 o'clock, and they hope to do at least 51 hours because the record right now is 50 hours, and it was set by MTV India in 1999.
Wow. Hello, welcome to MTV.
Wow. And so that's what you're doing.
Right.
Well, let's...
Trying to call attention to the fact that we have about 61 million people who have some form of heart disease. And hopefully try to do something about that.
Casey, do you have a website where people could maybe watch this online or find out?
Here it is, stjosephaspirin.com.
stjosephaspirin.com.
And that's, I think anybody, you know, the benefits of taking an aspirin a day, I take an aspirin a day, and I think that's a good thing. I'm glad you're doing that.
How many do you take, Buzz? Like 10?
Yeah, a fistful every morning. Yeah, you've got actually a quarter-size hole in your stomach now, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I don't mind.
Yeah, Casey, you don't recommend taking, like, a fistful, do you?
No, I don't even recommend taking it unless you talk to a doctor.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
But we wouldn't want anybody to take... even 81 milligrams.
Buzz actually takes 6 or 7 full strength aspirins and crushes them up and puts them on his cereal. It's not a healthy thing.
I didn't know.
Now, Casey, are you going to be on the Jerry Show this year on the telethon?
Yep, we're going to be doing it, God willing, come September.
All right.
We'll probably be calling you the Friday before we go on the air.
Please do. And Casey, just let me tell you, you don't know my son. I'm sure you don't even remember me, but my son is now 18.
Wow.
And, you know, being the... I'm getting to a point here. Being the son of a really like a gym rat, a radio guy, which I am, I keep telling him all the time about the old days, about how much better radio was in the old days. And one thing that he really is hooked on to is you. And he loves a countdown show. And he doesn't like Rick Dees. And he doesn't like the rest.
Oh, my goodness.
But when we drive around, and I swear to you, Casey, and I mean, I'm just kissing your ass because you were such a big influence, but it's funny that my son will say, Dad, you got to leave on Casey Kasem. Now, his only knowledge of Casey Kasem is the fact that he knows that this was a show that I listened to when I was growing up.
Absolutely.
And how I learned how to walk up a record and pace and do stuff like that. But... it's so funny that whether it's, and I know you do a million versions, you do the adult.
Three different versions.
Yeah, if it's the top 20, the top 10, the top 40, whatever it is, he likes it. And you know what his favorite part is?
The long distance dedication.
Yes, still to this day.
He's 18 years old.
He's 18, he's on his way to college, and he will not let me change the station in the car if you're on. And that's, I can't give you a better compliment than that.
Casey, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about music, because you know you've done it for so long and you've seen so many bands come up, and I would be curious who you think recently who would be on your list as far as the most significant artist to come around recently that you think are going to be around for a long time, because it seems to me to be harder to find than it used to be to find these groups that have staying power. Is anybody in your opinion that's out there right now that's going to be around for a long time and not a one hit wonder?
You know the one you know the question is a tough one for someone like me.
Right.
And when I used to play records every day and handle the records and listen to the songs that were new and that were coming out and were on their way up, I could tell you what was a hit, and I could tell you how long they were going to be around.
Right.
But hearing the show once a week, just once a week, and in countdown form, you really don't know what's going on, to be honest with you. And so I couldn't come up with an answer that I think would be adequate or would satisfy anybody who knows the music business.
That's a good bar.
You know, and I'm out of the music radio thing totally, but I relate to that. When you'd be sitting around, whether it was a record duck coming in to push on a record, if you're the music director, or just sitting with your friends, the other disc jockeys, mm-hmm. you'd put a record on, and you'd know in 10 seconds if it was going to be a hit,
right,
or if it was going to be a stiff. And there were some records that were stiffs that you would say, wow, but that's got a great intro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, Casey, but I remember one time I worked for a disc jockey, I worked for a PD who was also a disc jockey, who was actually stuck. He couldn't decide. There were two records. He couldn't decide which one. And he brought all the disc jockeys in the room, and he said, it's between these two records. Which one do you guys like better? And one of the records was Take the Money and Run by Steve Miller.
Oh.
And the song was on for 3 seconds. Just that, bada, 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 bada. And everybody said, that's it. And he said, you guys haven't even heard the song yet. We said, we don't have to hear it. We don't have to hear it.
If you have the hook. And that's what really makes a song a hit, I think.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Scooby Doo because the big movie came out there, and Rob, our assistant producer in here, is a huge fan of Scooby Doo, and I have to ask you, how did you feel about, I don't even know the actor's name that played Shaggy. What was his name, Rob?
Hugh Lillard.
Okay, I can't hear you anyway, but to go ahead. What do you think of his performance?
I thought his was the best in the picture.
Yeah, I did too.
He did a pretty good
job of Shaggy, had the voice down, and he looked like Shaggy.
He did, absolutely.
Matthew, what's his name, Robbie?
Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
And now I guess he's going to do a couple more, or at least they're going to do a couple more movies with live actors.
And, of course, when they do those movies, do any checks come into your mailbox when those movies come out?
Absolutely not.
Hey, listen, don't have a pity party for Casey.
No, I don't think so. I think so. How's the house out in Beverly Hills?
Well, it's still not finished yet.
Casey, how many radio stations around the world run your show now?
We're on about 335.
Mm. 335 stations, and that's around the world.
Yeah,
and I mean long before.
Tokyo, and we're on Tokyo, and also Moscow, and other areas around the world.
Everybody has to understand the reverence I have for this guy. Not only, I mean, before we were syndicated, or Howard was syndicated, or Rush Limbaugh, or Larry King, or anybody,
mm-hmm.
it was Casey Kasem, and the plan back then was what you would do is you'd make albums and ship them via 2-day mail. To radio stations,
right.
And all across America, every Sunday from 9 until noon or from 8 until noon, whatever it was, you could go from city to city, mm-hmm. and you knew you would hear Casey Kasem's show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Without fail, it was the very first radio syndication that I'd ever heard of, and such a unique way of doing it. And you're the greatest. I got nothing, I got no bad stuff to say to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Nothing but the greatest. And please call us before the Jerry show and go to. The website for this, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is?
StJosephAspen.com, and take the test if you can, and then call your doctor and see if you should be on any kind of therapy with regard to aspirin.
All right, and Casey, please do check back in before the telephone.
I'll do it.
Okay, because I love kissing your ass.
Casey Kasem, thank you very much.
Thanks, doctor.
Bye-bye.
Too much.
You won't hear me be that nice to a lot of people. Really? I mean, one of the legends.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yes, and
nice guy.
And he's been through the ringer with us. For those of you who wanted us to put him through the ringer, he's already done it.
Yep. We've done it. And, we've got the tape.
Two of them. And I got to talk about a goddamn dog, an effing dog dying.
That's a long time he's been doing that show. That was a long time he'd been doing it when we had that tape.
Yep. It's ponderous, man.
Ponderous.
Effing ponderous. The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
There you go.
Jesus Christ, you remember when we were first syndicated, when I would say we were heard on this station and this station?
Right.
That still is a ripoff of Casey Kasem.
Sure.
When he would say American Top 40, heard worldwide on great radio stations.
Do you remember when you'd be listening to it out in radio land, and when they'd mention your station, you'd feel really cool?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
He did it all. He's the first.
That's Casey. He's great. And now I think we've done a pretty good job of showing the nice side of us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, let's go to the other side. We'll start by playing for the first time ever in its entirety The Bob Hope, 19, what's the year on that, Robbie?
I think it's 92.
The last, I think the last time he did the All-American football team special.
Yeah, and it's an example of some of his material.
Yeah. This is before even all the tabloid stuff started.
Yes, yes.
Bob Hope, All-American football tape.
A tribute to his material.
And then our final tribute, the first ever post-life interview.
Oh, he's having fun up there.
With Bob. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Boy, this is f***ing ponderous, man. Ponderous, f***ing ponderous.
The Don and Mike Show.
You got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
They like holes, not holes. Don and Mike.
To do a Casey Kasem thing here, but hey, here's a shock. Our equipment seems to be busted.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get that thing where he goes, get me out of the record.
Highly unusual.
Get me out of the record. No, I'll fill it with this.
He asked for Sabian.
Give me one more before he leaves.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop him.
Oh, wow. Baby.
There you go. Nice.
You know what?
Find Sabian.
He wasn't looking at any clock either when he did that.
No, that's just...
Now get me Sabian!
That's just dumb luck. Okay. Bob Hope.
Yes.
Our bulletin, Bob Hope is dead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beloved Bob.
Beloved icon of American comedy.
We've had this tape since 1992. This tape almost got bulked, erased, for those of you who don't know. Oh, let me tell you, on tomorrow's show, Showdown with the Ernie Scar guy.
Oh, very good.
Joe has set up a time for him to come.
Yeah, we're going
to
find out. Hey, you know, as Joe said in the bathroom just a moment ago, hey, bud, what's your problem?
So, Bob Hope, 1992. We've played bits and snippets of this over the years, but it is so painfully bad that we've never played it in its entirety.
I think, really, there is a section of our audience that might actually laugh. For Bob's reasons. But Don, there's so many people in this country.
Well, you got it fixed now, Robbie?
So. Hold on.
Let's go start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
Longest is dedication from Dolores to Bob. This ice cream is for you. Bob's fallen out of his wheelchair. Those tabloid headlines are great.
Those tabloids, man. And will they, you know, I would say probably give it less than 6 months, and you'll have those tabloids talking about the ghost of Bob.
I would say less than 3 weeks.
You think there'll be a... Rob, keep your eyes peeled. Let's see what happens.
I think there'll be a 3-week honeymoon period. Next week will be tributes.
Right.
And yeah, you gotta wait till
the tributes are over.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get the bad stuff.
I believe there will be something about his messing around, and I maybe think that they'll target Dolores.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to do there. Mm-hmm. Gotta do something.
Mm-hmm. Let's play the... let me try the Casey thing. This is what I was going to do out of the stop set.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's go start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes,
you die.
We will work just as good the other way.
I don't want to talk to anyone else but Sabian.
Hi, Tim.
This is Sabian here.
How are you doing, Tim? You know what Tim's saying right now? Click, click. But it's not going off.
Click, click, click.
No. Stays on, Tim.
Click.
There it is.
Yeah, that's okay. Nice. I like that.
Bob Hope, still dead.
Now, this is when he would, if for any of you that may have not been around to see any of these...
For all of you who were not around.
Let me tell you right now.
I want to tell you.
That Bob Hope would bring out the AP All-America football team and introduce each of them, and then his joke writers would give him a line.
It was awful.
It was really the standard bit that he did. It was the one bit, I think, that he did on every single Christmas
and
special.
The jokes were awful. His reading style is awful.
Yes.
Perhaps, if you can't appreciate that, listen for the names of some of your favorite NFL stars.
Amen.
From nearly 11 years ago.
Wow.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
your host, Bob Hope.
Here we go for the the first time on this show, uninterrupted, unless we have to stop it because we're laughing so hard. All right, I had to stop him. And this is when he was still okay to be on TV.
Absolutely. Kind of.
But listen already to the, ah, here you go,
look at me.
Yeah.
American football team, the cream of the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
What?
Here they come, one by one, ton by ton, the best of the 1991 season. Let's start with the All-American defensive team, right there.
Right there.
Now, will you know? I mean, you'll spot some of these.
I'll let you know.
I'd like you to let us know when the stars are.
I'll let you know if they're guys who I've heard of.
The other opposing lineman. In fact, he's generally bigger than the other school team bus.
And please notice this as well.
Yeah,
it's the exact same one.
It's a formula.
We got the same one. Okay, Bob.
Santana Dotson, defensive lineman. Okay. See you.
Santana Dotson, hello, Green Bay. We're on WNFL. Long time played for the Packers, defensive lineman. Bob?
Opposing players say that being blocked by this guy is an experience. You get to see what grass looks like from underneath.
Right. Funny, Bob. Icon.
Brad Culpepper, senior defensive tackle from Sunny University of Florida.
Brad Culpepper, later of your Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
I like that. It's cute.
When Brad was only 2 years old, he had his picture taken on a bursting rug. Actually, it wasn't a rug exactly. It was a real bear that Brad had in the hammer lock.
Thanks. Thanks, old man.
University of Iowa, senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players say that after this guy tackles you, you hear bells, which is a good sign. It means you probably still have ears.
Right. Funny stuff.
Paul Jones, inside linebacker, East Carolina University, senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players tell me that you can get up after this guy tackles you, but some assembly may be required.
You realize how bad this is?
Yes.
And back in 1992, when we would play this on the air,
right,
and we would scream, how come nobody gets this isn't funny?
Mm-hmm.
There were not a lot of people that were joining us saying, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not funny.
Right, right, exactly. We were screaming.
The whole thing, you know, he's an icon and he's a tradition. And
call us crazy. We thought it was some sort of terrible injustice.
Marvin Jones, inside linebacker, sophomore, Florida State University.
Marvin Jones played for a number of NFL teams.
There you go.
I understand this guy got hit by a train this summer, but it's okay. Amtrak is not billing him for damages.
Good reading, Bob.
Lazy.
Joe Bowden, new side linebacker, senior University of Oklahoma.
This guy has some appetite. I took him through a drive-in the other day. He ate the car in front of us.
I mean, come on. That's not even remotely funny.
Well, you can't blame Bob. I mean, Bob didn't write any of those jokes.
Even if, like...
He read them.
Your five-year-old came up to you and said that. You would go, oh, you know, that's nice. Yeah, but you go, yeah, it's a five-year-old.
Take the car. And imagine your five-year-old was carrying around that laugh track.
Kevin Smith, senior defensive back, Texas A&M University.
This guy has a philosophy that anything that's in the air belongs to him. Five times this year, Goodyear has to buy their blimp back from him.
This is pathetic.
Will Buckley, junior defensive back, Florida State University.
Yes, sir. This guy sticks to the opposing pass receivers like glue. He's a fierce defender of his territory.
What?
In fact, one player hollered, okay, you can stop covering me now and let me finish my shower.
Really, I defy you to tell me what he just said. It was some joke about sticking to a guy like glue.
Yes, and it meant that he was still covering him when he was taking his shower. I understood. I get jokes.
I think what you two need to learn is you should start every joke by saying, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Dale Williams, defensive back, junior, University of Miami.
Once he didn't hear the whistle to end the play, and he tackled the entire brass section of the marching band.
Bob, you wet yourself.
Dale Carter, defensive back, senior, University of Tennessee.
Yes, sir. This guy's a quick defender, 5 games this year. When the referee tossed a coin, he intercepted it.
Yeah, funny, Bob. Your writers are doing pot.
Mark Bound, senior punter, Texas Tech University.
Yeah, this fella gets a lot of hang time. He kicked one ball against SMU, and by the time it came down, they were playing rice.
Take that back. They're doing heroin.
And now for the offensive team.
There's some stars in here, right? Should be.
Greg Skripnak, offensive tackle, senior, University of Michigan.
Yes, sir. Greg was big at birth. In fact, the Starker Deliverman had to train by bench pressing a Greyhound bus. His passport photo is a fold-out.
Okay. He was so big, the Stork...
Had to use
a van.
Had to lift a bench press, a Greyhound bus.
And that was it.
His passport photo is a fold-out.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
In case you're keeping track
of him. Remember, this is the guy on that you're seeing now, you know, the greatest comedian ever.
Yes, sir. Jerry Ostrowski, senior, offensive guard, University of Tulsa.
I heard of him.
Sir, 21 years ago, Jerry Ostrowski made history. He was the biggest baby ever born in the city of Collegeville and the city of Scranton and the city of Pittsburgh. He was so big, he was born in 3 cities.
He just explained the joke.
Thanks for explaining it, Bob.
Jay Lewenberg, national champions, University of Colorado, center.
You need 3 things to be a great offensive center. Strength, concentration, and not be ticklish.
You're getting mad.
Senior,
that is so funny.
Yes, sir. Jeb is a great believer in the right to life, except for the guys he's playing against.
Even though he's gone, you still feel the injustice, don't you?
You know, it's like he believes in right to life. Okay, so what? That, it's an abortion joke?
No, he believes that he should just kill everybody he plays against. Wow.
This is the guy that is on Fox News Channel now. It's our greatest national treasure.
Come on now. Come on.
He's wild.
100 years of hope.
Still angry.
Yeah.
He can still make you angry even from the grave.
Come on. Listen to this. Back in 1992.
I love watching you get mad at these jokes. God. Getting mad at bad comedy.
And this used to be like in prime time.
I know.
A big deal. And back when there was only 3 channels.
Right.
Bob
Whitfield, offensive tackle, junior, Stanford University.
I'm not saying Bob plays rough, but Johnson & Johnson just named him Mr. Band-Aid.
Douchebag.
And Bob Whitfield plays with the Atlanta Falcons, or does, used to, I don't know.
They're Band-Aid. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yes, sir. 10 more pounds, you'd have to wear license plates.
Yes, sir.
Kelly Blackwell, tight end, senior, Texas Christian University.
Yeah, this guy catches everything that comes his way. Last season, he caught 64 passes, 12 pigeons, and a helicopter.
Now, wait, hold on. Your laughter.
I'm laughing at your reaction to these jokes.
I'm laughing at you getting mad. Don, I gotta tell you,
he's gone.
He won't bother you anymore.
He's gone, Don. You can't get as mad at him as when he was here.
Mario Gandy, senior receiver from the University of Washington.
Yes, sir, and what a pass receiver. If there's a football anywhere in the air, Mario Bailey will somehow manage to pull it in. During one game this season, he caught 9 passes on the field, 3 in the end zone, and 1 in the parking lot.
We got a guy on the phone who wants to tell us this is funny and we're missing it.
All right.
Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Hey, you guys need to realize you're laughing at the wrong stuff. Now, the guy in the drive-thru eating a car, not funny. But Bob Hope in the drive-thru with a 300-pound black eye, that's funny.
Okay, I mean, if you look at it on that level, but, I mean, that's not what the intent is, you see.
No, it's not, sir.
And we're just digging on the delivery. That's what I'm digging
on. Bob didn't do a lot of high-concept comedy.
No.
So
no,
you might be giving him a bit much.
Well, no, I mean, you're not
Bob
giving...
didn't spend a lot on writers either. That's very apparent.
And Bob also didn't spend a lot on getting his teeth fixed or learning how to speak.
Wow.
Back when he... Well, listen to this.
Don.
I know he's dead. Mike, this is the difference between you and I. I'm sorry.
He's dead.
You know what? A month from now, you'll be joining me in this. But right now, you've got that weird Catholic thing. You know, you'd be railing with me if he was still alive.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
but now because he's dead, we have to...
Maybe not recently, but I mean, yes. It's you're killing me, though. You're getting, that is so funny. It's like you're fighting injustice. Ladies and gentlemen,
he's called up. I really do. He's just so bad.
Has no one fought this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You thought I was laughing. It's a joke. I'm just enjoying the show.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Sir, he's a treasure, an icon.
Bring us more.
Listen to this.
Give us more.
Vaughn Dunbar, so you tell that Indiana University.
Vaughn's rushing record is phenomenal. This year, he's the only American who gobbled up more real estate than the Japanese.
Good read, Bob. Good read.
Marshall Falk, San Diego State, freshman running back.
They say that this fellow is a triple threat in football. He can run around you, over you, or through you.
Tommy, stop.
Ryan Benjamin, Jr., all-purpose back, University of
Pacific. I haven't heard any famous football players.
So fast.
Marshall Falk.
Oh,
really?
Going on his uniform.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying that every couple
I'm sorry,
of minutes.
I walked on Bob's joke.
Hey, Bob, you smell like BM.
Carlos Lewis, a place taker, senior, University of Miami.
Yes, sir. This kid has won a few games by kicking the ball far and accurate. Big deal. That's the same way I got out of sand traps.
There's it. Funny.
There's a Bob joke.
Ty Detmer, quarterback, senior, Brigham Young University.
Ty Detmer, one of the Flying Detmer boys.
I know.
Yeah, Ty was last year's Heisman Trophy winner. Ty as a passer is going to be very valuable in the pros, and he knows it.
What?
He carries his right arm around in his wallet.
What?
Desmond Howard, University of Michigan.
Well, you're Desmond Howard, of course, Super Bowl MVP, Desmond Howard. Let's see what witticism Bob has for us. Our greatest comedian ever.
Split in and kick return specialist.
Yeah, Desmond is this year's Heisman Trophy winner. At 5 feet, 9 inches, 176 pounds, little Desmond is famous for his acrobatic touchdown catches and game-breaking kick returns. Desmond won by a landslide vote, with the second largest margin of victory since the award was created in 1935. Well, I'm very proud of you, Desmond.
Thanks, Bob.
Serious stuff.
Yeah. No joke?
No joke.
No, it's too...
No joke? Yeah.
Bob Oak.
Yeah, there you go.
Bob Oak, ladies and gentlemen.
100 years of Oak.
There you go. Okay, and now the calls are coming in. And again, you know, this is like the discussion I had with myself last week about this show.
This is the part where, what are you planning to do?
What I'm seeing on the screen is pissed at Don about Bob.
Right.
Lay off Bob. You've lost a longtime listener. Let me just tell all of you people on the phone before I take your calls that everybody else in this room laughs as much as I do. They just don't do it as loudly. It's the way the show's done.
I want to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ. Come on. Hey, Rich.
La, la, la. Listen.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Dude, you better lay off, all right?
Why, dude? Why, dude? Because Bob Hope what?
Listen to me. If you or your partner had as much talent as Mr. Hope had...
We have more than Bob Hope had. We're doing this with no writers. He had some guys writing him. Yep. Listen, you mean to tell me you would listen to that tape and say, oh, that's great stuff?
The man was an entertainer for many years.
I probably would lay off if he would have stopped about 30 years before that tape was made.
Listen, Mike, just lay off the dude, all right? Let him rest in peace.
What, are you switching over to me right now? It's just a comedy radio show, sir.
Well,
don't take it too seriously.
You're not making it too lightful about it. You know,
too what? Too lightful?
Whatever.
What is that word? Whatever?
No wonder.
No, I mean, you can't express yourself. If you're going to come into our house.
You know what? I'll be glad when Philly pulls the plug on your lame ass.
Yeah, and I'll be glad when you stop listening every day and stop calling.
You know what? Eat me.
Hey, good comeback.
I can't argue with that.
Good comeback. That's what your mom said to me this morning, right after we got done watching the Bob Hope 1968 All-American Football Team tape.
He's gone.
He hung up?
Like the wind.
Just as well.
Like the wind.
Here's a long-time listener we've lost. Oh, goodbye, hey. Genevieve.
Listen, wait, please. It's not just you're ragging on him that you're doing right now. It's because you're not recognizing what everybody else is talking about. It wasn't just his lame humor that was so good. I don't know if you possibly saw the hour special that his daughter did. But it's
how could you miss this stuff? It's all over every channel. Honey,
it was before he died, and it showed everything he did. It wasn't just his...
Oh, was that one of the last times NBC was whoring him out?
Possibly. But wait, it wasn't just the humor, and that's what you guys are not recognizing, why everybody's getting so upset.
No, here's why people are getting upset.
What?
Because you people are robots, and you've been, over the last 24 hours, you have been absolutely brainwashed by this non-stop machine that is promoting Bob Hope was the greatest. Bob Hope was the greatest. I'm not going to argue. Shut up. I'm not going to argue the fact that he went over and entertained our troops.
Nobody can argue that.
I said yesterday his buddy pictures were great. But I'm telling you, the guy didn't know when to quit. Like, if you listen to that last tape, I'm sorry. That's not funny.
That's so true.
It's not funny.
All right.
And there's something funny about it not being funny, mm-hmm. and that's why we play the tape.
And you're a brainwashed idiot who watches Fox News Channel and watches the specials, and you go, I feel so bad about Bob. Let me ask you a question.
I haven't shed one tear because he lived to be...
You heartless bitch.
Oh, God.
Didn't shed one tear.
What has happened to our tribute, Don?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a new listener. You've just won me over because that was horrible. Everything you were just talking about was horrible.
Well, all right, thank you. Thank you. I've won you over. Thank
I'm trying to find an analogy to that right wow. now. It's so funny. It's horrible.
You know,
he's 100 years old. He's gone. It's terrible. Comedy, and it's so bad, it's good. We play stuff on this show that is so bad. That is why we played that tape, because it's funny.
It makes us laugh. It's like Jerry Lewis when Jerry Lewis is trying to be serious.
Right.
That's when Jerry Lewis is funny. There are a lot of things that are intended to be funny.
Trust me. Listen, and I do mean this. In 5 years when I'm not here anymore, and I will not be here, I swear on my son's life, then you're going to have your nice, everything is happy world. And you're going to wish, one day you're going to wish there'd be at least someone who had the balls to come up and say something that's not politically correct.
Right.
To say, listen, Bob Hope, all these specials he did the last 10 years.
They weren't funny.
Not only could he not get out a complete sentence, they weren't funny. They weren't funny. And the fact that I'll play the tapes and say that, you know what, all you dummies? That is funny. But no, because you've been brainwashed. You sit there and you watch Fox News Bulletin. You know, 2 days after he died, at least, because I don't think it happened yesterday. I got up over the weekend.
Yeah, Sunday night.
You know, so it's Sunday night. Still 2 days later, it's still a bulletin.
Yeah.
What's the bulletin?
He was 100 years old.
I mean, we had a bet on this show, Hope or Pope.
Mm-hmm. And we never, ever have said anything other than the fact that we know what he did. I mean, and he did do a lot of good things. I think taking those going over there and doing those shows was great.
Well,
that was a contribution. But the fact remains, we played these tapes when the shows were so bad they were good. That we've done that with anybody. We've done that with everybody.
Don's right. He should have stopped in 75 or sooner.
Yeah, you're wild. Oh, you morons, you brainwashed idiots out there. Jesus Christ.
And if you don't think they trotted him out for much longer than they should have, mm-hmm. I call your attention to the last special when he was literally mm-hmm. propped up with pillows
right.
on a couch in his house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and
that is something really that all of us, we've talked about this, cannot stand when
right.
they do that. And, it, you know, it doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to, but it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And you know, it just didn't work.
It ain't easy.
It was sad. It was frustrating.
It ain't easy being the last bastard, the last guy who will say, listen, Bob Hope, over the last 20 years, mm-hmm. sucked. Go ahead. Don't listen anymore. I'm not making a statement today that I've not made before. I'm not saying this to be shocking.
True.
This is my behavior over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, even when I played records. So what's the deal with Bob Hope?
Yeah.
Please.
It's wild.
That's wild.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Jesus. Treasure. I got more treasure in my underpants. Listen to this.
That's you. The music tells you we've come to one of the perennial highlights of our Christmas show, the introduction of the Associated Press All-American Football Team, the cream of the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
What?
Here they come, one by one, ton by ton, the best of the 1991 season. Let's start with the All-American defensive team, right there.
Right now, yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, listen, hey. You guys are funny. Don't stop with the Bob Hope.
Comments. You know what it is? It's just it's the politically correct people, and I don't even blame you idiots for calling, because the thing is, you've been so trained by everything in our culture now that if you hear something that on some level you're laughing at, you go, oh, it can't be right. I'm laughing at this.
No, you guys.
I better call and complain so my conscience is clear.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. Keep it up. Especially when you do the little Bob Hope jingle. Cracks me up every time.
And listen, Bob is still entertaining us.
Yes, absolutely. Will for years. Amen.
He's certainly bigger than the other opposing linemen. In fact, he's generally bigger than the other school team's bus.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, it is an honor to speak to you guys. First time caller, but man, this is hilarious. I'm sorry, I totally support you on this. I mean, Bob Hope, sure, he did many great things, but I remember being younger, hearing his comedy, and wishing he was dead to do that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Now, I want to tell you, that's wild.
That's wild. You know what? I'm going to go to the right to the horse's mouth on this. When we break, we're going to come back, and we'll find out how pissed Bob is.
We'll find out.
We're going to turn on the Wayback Machine. We're going to go to heaven. We understand he's not slobbering anymore.
No, he's made a comeback.
Great, Bob.
And we're going to find out. Let's let Bob see if he's pissed.
Yeah.
Me playing this tape.
Oh, boy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Big Kmart. This is big. The Don and Mike Show.
Cleansing your ears with a verbal enema. Don and Mike.
Let me take a couple calls here. And Robbie, you crank up the Wayback Machine. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey. Don.
Yeah.
I have no problem with you making fun of Bob Hope because I didn't know him. But I think people may be a little bit mad just because, you know, you could have waited until the body was cold. You know?
The body is cold. Yeah. I waited. We didn't do anything yesterday, dude. Come on. How long do we got to wait? Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you guys that it's a real shame that nobody gets it. If anybody on this planet would get what you're doing about Bob Hope, it would be Bob Hope. He made fun of himself, and that's how he got to be famous. He made jokes about himself all the time.
Listen, we are flooded with support calls now. There's one more that I want to take, though. Remember the call that I said was up on the screen that said you've lost a listener?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that.
Gotta be... Here she is.
All right, so you're making fun of me. I don't care. I'm a very passionate person with my convictions, but when I'm wrong, I stand corrected, and I admit that I'm wrong. So I am letting you and all your listeners know that I am still a loyal listener, and I do stand corrected because...
I don't want you. Thank you. Don't want you. Now let's turn the Wayback Machine on. She was going to apologize, I believe.
Yes, I think she was.
But she was so goddamn long-winded. Let's find out what the man himself thinks now as we put in our connection to the great beyond. And this is a Don and Mike Show exclusive.
Yeah.
The first...
I'm the king of the world!
Post-life interview...
Hey, Donnie?
...with Bob Hope.
Hey, baby!
Bob!
How are you? I'm up here in heaven. Man, I'm so free of that wrinkled skin sack. I'm glad to be up here, man. I couldn't see, hear, breathe, practically, like a mole. It's like a little mole crawling around. No eyesight. How are you, Donnie, baby?
I'm doing great, Bob. Now, listen.
You haven't still one of them controversial shows you always have?
Have you been listening to the show today?
Wow, love your stuff, babe. Yeah, love your stuff. You're absolutely right. Not going to argue for me. No way. He stayed on too long. You know, those. It wasn't my fault, Donnie. You know, those NBC bastards, you know, they'd wheel me out there. Just try to squeeze blood out of a stone, I'll tell you right now. But I'm up here now. I'm free. Man, we're having a good time. Me and Crosby got Lucy airtight last night. Yeah. Man, we had a great time. How you doing down there? I'm so glad to be free. And how about giving Bob his props for making it to 100? Huh? Did I do that?
Yes,
there
you did.
Go. Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Made it to 100 now.
I'm up here doing 3 shows a day. Yes, sir. Yeah, just wait until Joey Heatherton comes up here, man. I tell you, it's great to be up here in heaven. And I'm looking down at all of you, and I just love it. You're just having a good time. No.
How tough was it, those last 5, 6, 10, 20 years being stuck in that body?
I tell you, it was tougher than doing something to Beatrice Arthur, if you know what I mean. Can I talk honestly with you, Don?
Yes, I'll turn the laugh track off.
We go back a long way, baby.
Yes,
yeah,
man.
Real frustrating, you know. I tell you, I didn't control it. There's all these people behind me wheeling me out there. Bob, do another special. Bob, do another special. Make people laugh. Make people laugh. Well, goddammit, I think I did that in the first 70 years of my life. Why couldn't I have had a decent retirement? Sit around, do what I enjoy, play a little golf, eat some ice cream in Palm Springs. I don't understand this crap. You're absolutely right to play that thing. That abomination known as the EPL American football team, and I'm feeling good right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob for Heaven Hope. Say, West Heaven, yes, sir. How about that, Jesus? He gave me 3 nails, and he... He gave me 3 nails and asked me to put him up for the night. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's a little Jesus.
Yeah, new writers.
How about that? Yeah, a little more edgy up here in heaven right now. How about that? We're having all sorts. Me and Melton Burrow are going to go down to the comedy cafeteria they have up here in heaven. It's a great place, I tell you, if anybody's worried about old Bob. And, you know, I'd like to speak to some of those people that were calling a moment ago.
Yeah.
They're talking about old Bob. You know, they're not sincere. They don't know me as a person. F you. I don't need your sympathy. I'm up here having a great time. I've shed all those old things. You know, the rest of the body's going to be worm food shortly. Make sure the good people come to the funeral thing, won't you?
Have you seen...
I took a look today. That little Joey Lawrence crying like a bambino, man. Unbelievable.
Have you seen any of the over-the-top tributes that you're getting on every goddamn channel, Bob?
Not enough. Not enough for old Bob Leslie Hope.
Not enough.
Nah, I want something to do. I want the English tributes from England. You know, I was born in England. You know. I'll tell you right now, the more the merrier. I'd like to see a week-long marathon of the road pictures. Road to Rio, road to all the places we went to, Morocco. And, you know, the only thing I'm up here, the only bad thing about being up in heaven, you know,
yeah.
I got to make nice with Bing's up here. You know, I've been up here for a long time. He knows all the ropes, made all these show business connections up here. We're having a good time. How are you, Donnie?
And Bob, think of this.
Yeah, wow. You're
finally away from Dolores.
Yes, sir. Boy, she was the one, man. She just couldn't give it up. Love that spotlight. Love to be out there. Love to push me out there. And then towards the end, some of the last specials she sang. No way, I said, but she forced me to.
Have you gotten laid since you've been in heaven?
Yeah, man, I mentioned it to you. We got Lucy airtight last night. Yeah, fantastic. I'm up here, Dorothy Lamour and I rekindling our old romance. Heaven's about the greatest thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob for Heaven Hope saying heaven's just about the most spectacular place you ever want to be in. I recommend it highly, but of course not everybody can go here. I got news for you, Donnie. That little theory you had about heaven's totally wrong. Flat-ass wrong.
All about the Hussein boys?
Absolutely. Those guys aren't up here. They're down there with the guy with the big tail and the horns. Yes, sir. It's heaven. Yes, sir. The bottom floor. Yes, sir. How about that Moses? He spent more time in the sand than my title is Pro V1. Wow. There you go, man. I'll tell you right now. Right now. Yep.
When you died.
Huh?
When you died.
When I died, yeah. Was tragedy. American tragedy. Hey, you know what I am? I'm an icon, you know?
Was it a freeing experience? Did you
liberating, man. I tell you, I was just a useless skin sack. I tell you, it's good to leave that body back on the earthly plane. Now, I got my golf swing back. I'm just as studly as I was when I did my first trip overseas. And I'm real happy. Don't you think I sound happy? I don't care what anybody says. Y'all don't matter down here. The most important thing's up here. Wow, yes, sir.
What about when I went to BobHope.com today?
Absolutely.
They're still selling all your merchandise. and they have a
little... Yeah, make sure you buy the Bob golf clubs. Those go up in value when a guy dies. You know that, don't you?
They've got a little icon that you push on that says, Contact Bob.
Right.
That, to me, doesn't seem quite right.
Well, I imagine it'd be pretty spooky if I tried to contact people right now. I'd scare the daylights out of them, but it'd give those damn tabloids another opportunity. And incidentally, I heard you reading those articles. None of those interviews were done by me.
Fiction.
Yeah, it's a bunch of BS right there. I'll be haunting them in their dreams. And I can come back as a Bob ghost. I'll be haunting all the other old comedians. Absolutely. I tell you, we're having a great time up here. Hackett tried to steal my thunder. I didn't let him do that, no. Yes, sirree. He tried to die before I did. I tell you what he's doing. Yes, sir. How about that, Mary? She's a virgin, and I'm not rotten. There you go. Fantastic. Yeah, all the Jesus humor goes. Yeah, Gabriel, blow your horn, baby. We're having a great time up here. I got all my props up here, too. My oversized boxing gloves, my oversized boxing shorts, my harem scarum outfit. It's fantastic. I'm dressed like a sheik today.
What would you say to our listeners and your fans, many of who you may have heard, are terribly overreacting to our bit today? And what would you say to your fans in general?
I'd like to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob, great entertainer, Hope, saying NBC didn't pay me as much as they should have the last few years of my contract. I'd like y'all to do Bob a tribute favor and boycott that network for a solid year. That'll make him go under the world. Yeah, this is Bob saying I love my fans. And I had a great time, and I made it to 100 years of age. And don't get all, Tom. I almost said a bad word. Don't get all controversial.
Love each other like I love Bing. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now I can feed 600 people with 3 fish and 6 loaves of bread. There you go. That's a little biblical humor there. Yeah, I'm wearing sandals right now. Yeah.
Are you wearing one of those?
I got a little chic outfit that I brought from one of my road pictures, and I'm wearing sandals right now. And I can go anywhere in the world. Yes, sirree. And incidentally, anybody wants to pick on Bob, just remember, most of you people, I was doing blackface before you were even born. There you go. You guys rock and roll. How's Ernie Scar? Listen, before I go, I'd like to say a couple of goodbyes.
Sure.
Say goodbye to my good pal, Joey Artinger. Little Joey Artinger, he's a good boy. I know he misses me terribly. And also your general manager, Ethan Limewad. Don't drop a penny in his presence. He'll bend over and pick it up and lick it. Lick it all of you. Suck me. Bye-bye. Bye. Suck me.
Here he goes.
Suck me.
Think of the word.
Yeah. I don't want to go yet. I want to stay. Nah, I'll go. Chuck me!
And he's gone.
He's out. Wow.
And he's gone.
He wasn't angry at all. No. Not really. Strangely happened. Didn't know he knew. Didn't know either.
He forgot to mention Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar, yeah. Well, you know, Sammy met him when he was 9 months. I'm glad he's got the oversized boxing gloves.
I'm glad he got rid of that skin sack. All of his props.
The useless skin sack, Don. Said he was behaving like a mole.
All I have seen that is...
Yes, sir. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Hey.
He made it up.
Hey, guys, this is Richard R. Kansas. Ladies, he's as high as the day is long. Hey, bracelet boy. Hey, the buzz. Mm-hmm. Buzz wearing his pirate shirt.
Yes.
What's your lead story today, Buzz?
Today, radio host Tom Likas making himself famous, one female victim at a time.
Ooh. Oh, great news about disc jockeys going bad.
Elton John wannabe.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They're more soothing than a pair of buttery soft moccasins. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, Paul. apologies to you, to Buzz fanatics out there. We're getting the Buzz a little later than usual tonight. Sorry. All you haters. Just love the players. Don't be a player hater.
Yeah.
Time for Buzz's news, and Buzz is wild.
Wow.
I want to tell you, he's wild. He's brought to you by Duramax.
Yes, someone call for sir. A doctor? Yes, sorry.
Duramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Yes, sir.
Get it at 35,000 retail locations. Yes, sir. Mike, I want to tell you.
Yes, wild.
New double string Duramax Ultra. Get it now. One AAA Tri VMAX. Call now 1-AAA Tri VMAX. And without further waiting, here is Buzz.
Right here. Hi, Don and Mike.
Wild.
Yes, sir.
Wild.
Yes, sir.
People, especially women, who are already upset with radio talker Tom Likas for revealing the name of Kobe Bryant's accuser, are going to hate him even more when they hear this. It turns out Tom's had his own run-in with the law over a woman, according to the Smoking Gun website.
Lovely. Great website. We've had those guys on the show plenty of time.
Mm-hmm. A 1993 Boston police report says he allegedly pushed his ex-wife's head into a brick fireplace and threatened to kill her. Quoting Tom, "There are no similarities to my case. There was no allegation of rape. The only similarity in the two cases was someone calling 911.
Okay, two wow. things here. First, in Tom's defense, and maybe she just wouldn't listen. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Second, really, this, and I know based on what we've just done, you might think I'm being hypocritical. But trust me, I'm not. Listen, hear me out on this. We're goofing on America, on a very famous public person who just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do a lot of stuff on this show, and I'll take responsibility for it, that's over the line that people get pissed at. However, you get to something like an alleged sexual crime, and I've already said I don't think that he raped her, but that's just my opinion because I'm like everybody else. I watch TV.
Yeah, and hopefully the truth will come out in a trial.
Mm-hmm. But I do think it's rather pathetic for a disc jockey who's just trying anything to get out there and get his name mentioned on newscasts to read this girl's name. Because it's not hard to find.
Right.
The name was brought to us a week and a half ago because all of her idiot friends are doing interviews. Everybody knows the town.
Right.
All you got to do is call somebody in the town and say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Do you know the name of the girl? She also tried out for American Idol. We had someone at Fox who called us and said, this isn't the name of the girl. So we could have, as I'm sure Howard Stern could have, Don Imus could have.
Anybody.
Any disc jockey.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, lest anybody think it's a great get.
Yeah.
It's not a great get because it is easy to get this name. And the name was being shopped around and offered to shows, including our show.
So the point here is, the debate on whether the name should be revealed or not is for another place, another time.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, this is really, and this is why I'm going to say, don't take me as a hypocrite, because what I was just doing, you can't compare to that. That is truly radio going to its lowest common denominator. Really, somebody so desperate, they will do anything to get their name in the newspaper.
Absolutely.
Say this girl's name. I mean, what's the point? What's the point? I think it's kind of irrelevant that they're bringing out that Tom Likas tried to put his wife's head into a fireplace. But it's just, it's like one of those things in radio where you just go, what the F's wrong with this guy?
And there's a reason they don't release those names. There's a reason they keep that under wraps.
And
you got a public figure. Yeah, you got a lot of passions on both sides of the issue. And, you know, before the truth comes out in this, before the trial, before anybody knows what's going on, revealing that name is the reason it's the least ethical thing you can do is because you're subjecting somebody and their family to a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
And it's just something that Tom Likas on the Tom Likas show has done, so he'll get his name mentioned on our show and in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, listen, you want to do that, you know, do a show around people having sex at a church, you know, and I respect that more. I really do. I really do. And our best to the widow Likas,
yeah.
The woman who got her head in the fireplace.
Amen.
He didn't kill her, did he?
No, not that I know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're no longer married. And the only similarity between the two things was called a 911.
That's right. So he has that to be proud of.
Wow.
Was that his quote?
That's his quote, yes.
He is so stupid.
Man, oh man.
He really is so stupid. God.
Didn't help his case.
Tom Ligas, I want to say, I'm proud that I announced her name. Why do we have this stigma in America? Call me at 1-888-WIFE-HEAD-IN-THE-FIREPLACE. You know, Jesus, come on. Do what you got to do, man, to make a buck. Be shocking.
Right.
You know, be outrageous.
Outrageous!
But, God.
Outrageous.
But, fireplace!
God damn. Like you're some investigative journalist.
Right. If you could put a head through the fireplace.
Would you?
The circus is in town and it will be televised. Kobe Bryant's first pretrial hearing will be on Court TV and other channels. A Colorado judge gave the okay yesterday for the hearing August 6th. Now, this does not necessarily mean that the trial itself will be broadcast when it begins toward the end of the year. The hearing is where Kobe will formally be told he faces up to life in prison. And although the judge has okayed the broadcasting that hearing, he's invoked a partial gag order on the case in the hope that potential jurors won't be tainted.
He said taint. And hold on. Entering the courtroom now is famous disc jockey who revealed the girl's name, Tom Likas. Hi, Tom.
From head to toe in black.
Hey, Tom, wearing black doesn't help. You still look like a fat Elton John. This is Tom Likas. I've got balls of steel. I'm going to say the name of the alleged rape victim.
Yeah, before you do that, Tom, let me give you a peanut.
There you go. And speaking of circuses, you may want to get a ringside seat for the next phase of the Liza Minnelli-David Guest breakup.
That's going to get ugly, isn't it?
Oh, I think so.
Here's a quote from Liza.
That's nice.
Good news for you?
Yes.
You're single at the same time as she's single.
Finally. Don't think I'm not aware of that.
And
finally.
Don't think I wasn't aware.
Yeah, really, because it's just never worked for us.
Yeah,
and at the same time, David Guest is single.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Hey.
A spokeswoman for her says,
I wonder what kind of bracelet he wears.
A spokeswoman for Liza says they have no plans to divorce, but word from his camp is that he's gearing up for a massive fight in court that is, quote, going to get ugly.
Oh, boy.
Guest is already fighting dirty by leaking unfavorable stories about Liza to the National Enquirer. In fact, the trouble started on a British talk show where he called her very fat. He also reportedly showed no sympathy for her alcohol problem.
Oh,
Liza's half-sister has described the marriage as a freak show.
The feelings I'm making is that a man who has no facial hair has lost his beard. Right? Because David Guest.
Yeah, right.
That's wild.
That's wild.
There it is. See, he's gay. And she's drunk.
And I love that term, the beard.
Wild. Yeah. That Tom Likas.
And Liza
has a beard.
Yes, sir.
And a mustache.
Wow, Tom Likas.
She ate the car in front of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You see, he took his wife's head and put it in a fireplace. Wow. That was one hot marriage, I want to say. That's wow.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Did you poke her? Amtrak is not pressing charges.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Don't sit there like a bump on a log.
The only difference is there is she didn't call 911. Wild, wild, Tom Likas.
I understand that. We took her out of the fireplace. She came down with the flu.
New York City is apparently about to get America's first all-gay high school. It'll have about 170 students. Mayor Mike Bloomberg made the announcement yesterday, calling the school a haven from bullies. Quoting him, gays and lesbians have been constantly harassed and beaten in other schools.
Is anyone listening?
This sort of solves that problem. It lets them get an education without having to worry. Critics say gays should not be segregated or treated differently, especially at taxpayers' expense in tough economic times. Besides the basics, the school will focus on art and culinary programs.
You're kidding me.
No, that's the truth.
Oh, my God.
That's the truth. I got a joke.
You don't make it up.
But I can't say it.
You're writing down a joke?
Oh, it's the one we're going to pass around the room?
Okay, let's see.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Can you read it, Buzz?
Yes. Yes. That's brilliant, actually.
You see, it's the name of someone that
you
know.
I know.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's apparently not enough for the Catholic Church to say it's just against gay marriages. It's now waging a war on anyone who would dare suggest such a thing.
Yeah, because the Catholic Church should really be worrying about this.
Panicked by the changing world that surrounds it, the Church is ordering its bishops and Catholic politicians to fight the trend. Countries in Europe, North America, and elsewhere have generally ignored the Vatican recently as it speaks out against gay marriage, so the Church is going on the offensive, organizing a crusade around what it calls a doctrine of faith.
I'd eventually, hey, it's the Pope.
Hey, Your Holiness, it's been a long time since you've dropped by for a visit.
Hey, dude, I just want to say, what was the position again? We are for or against? We are against gay marriage.
Right.
Unless it's one of our priests who's in love with a delightful altar boy.
There you go. That's the policy, Your Holiness?
That's the policy.
And you're sticking by it?
Yes.
Your Holiness?
Football, like, football season just around the corner.
I know. My surprise pick, the Atlanta Falcons. Mike, join me. Pray for David Guest.
I will indeed. Yes. See, he's a very tragic figure.
Tom Likas, you're an ass.
Oh, there you go. And that came from His Holiness Pope John Paul.
Now, excuse me. I've got to whip this thing out and take a leak.
Wow.
I'm just a man.
Legend Bond.
Legend Bond.
Outlived Bob Hope.
Yeah, congratulations on outliving Bob Hope.
Yeah. I'm the Hope the Pope winner.
Yeah. Congratulations, Your Pope.
Thank you. Buzz, I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ba 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 ba, darling. The Don and Mike Show. We're going to buzz a check. Are you ready, Steve?
You ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Andy?
Yeah.
Nick?
Mick?
Mick? All right, fellas. Let's go. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. It's a stunning blow to comedians and DJs everywhere. Word that Arnold Schwarzenegger might not run after all.
No!
Governor of California.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
We got to start doing that bit again tomorrow.
Yeah, before he divorces himself from the election.
Blame Maria.
The danger, bitch.
His wife, who hails from the Democratic Kennedy clan, is reportedly very much against her Republican husband running for office.
Plan.
She's also reportedly concerned about his Austrian roots and his past as a womanizer coming back to bite him. The official word is that Arnold still has not made a decision.
All right, your Austrian roots. All right, your dad was a Nazi.
I call this the danger zone.
You're right, Arnold.
Betting the ends.
Fox News says a source close to him is saying that he will not run this time.
Oh,
come on, we'll still have fun with it.
That's right. We'll have fun with the calls for support.
Oh, my God.
The danger zone. Oh, my God.
Well, at least he has his movie career to fall back on, sort of.
Aye.
Although Terminator 3 was a box office disaster here in the States, it's one of several new American movies that have packed theaters in Europe and Asia.
That's because the European says, it's Arnold. Go out and see me.
Huh? In a dozen openings around the world, Arnold's movie is number one. They're in Korea. It's the sixth biggest movie opening of all time.
Wow. No autographs. No autographs, little people.
It's expected to crack the $100 million mark in overseas showings by this weekend. American action movies in general are doing well outside the States, including Charlie's Angels, Tomb Raider, Sinbad the Hulk, and the Hulk, which also did poorly here.
I'd like to point out that David Hasselhoff is also a major star in Europe.
I would like to thank the people of Korea. Yes.
Okay.
Tell them thank you for the great punta. You know, as long as I've known Korea, they just love my favorite body part.
What's that, Arnold?
The ass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, the ass.
In sports, the Washington Redskins have cut defensive tackle Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. He refused to take a pay cut, even though he had the team's biggest paycheck and a career low in sacks and tackles last season, yes?
He's worthless. But that means we will never be able to hear this tape again.
Oh, of course we will.
From FedEx Field, Rob Spiewak, your on-field announcer.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
That tape will live in infamy, Robbie.
Well, if anything happened to it.
And finally, the Germans just keep giving. In Berlin, police say a man lost his license after being caught driving while drunk. The 25-year-old was stopped in a routine traffic check. When asked if he'd been drinking, he said, and I quote, "If you want me to be perfectly honest, officer, 20 beers at most, but that's it, really." The breathalyzer confirmed the man's story. Quoting a spokesman for the police, "I have no idea why he told them."
Maybe it was because he was drunk.
The danger zone.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We have to go to the party and then go to the meeting.
We had a great time at that party.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode, okay, everybody? A good day to you.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. 20 beers, tops.
Yes, sir, Rusty. See you tomorrow.
What?
Suck.
BM.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.